Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Homebrewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers,
get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters, it's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the studio. It's been how many weeks since we've done a show from in here?
12
weeks.
Yes.
I think JP is absolutely right. It's been right around 12 weeks. And it's a good homecoming because we got really a bunch of people in here today. It's fantastic.
Proud it.
I had to put the studio back together here just before the show, so I do apologize for the late start. Let me make sure that our guest desk can be heard. Doc, go ahead.
Nope.
You got nothing. That's odd.
It's going to be the best show ever.
Hey, try yours, Jamil.
I can't hear Jamil.
Yeah? Hi.
Nothing.
Even better of a show.
Nobody's got anything.
Just JP.
The whole
fill time. I was born a poor black child.
Yeah, go ahead, JP. Can you keep telling us about your...
And it was really rough. We had to eat ice cream every day. And then we... I got nothing, man. I'm sorry.
All right. I hear something changing.
That was really a good effort, though, JP.
Thank you. It actually really wasn't.
Yeah, I don't.
Uh-oh. The show's going downhill already.
Now there they are. Everybody's alive.
Everybody's alive? Good.
Hey, that's now you're hot.
Hey. I am.
Yay me.
Should we start the intro music again?
As usual, I stuck the thing in the wrong hole. But now...
That's always been your excuse.
But now I fixed it, and we can hear everybody again, so that's good.
Everybody's happy.
So welcome back to the studio. We really have, I want to say, an interesting show for you today. And I've dubbed this one, it's the bittersweet show. Because we really have some great things happening. We have two great guests in the great John Palmer and Jamil Zainashev helping him out, his sidekick today.
Yay.
We got listeners in the studio hanging out with us today. But we also got a bunch of bad news to dole out.
Yeah. So that would make John and I the sweet, is that what you're saying?
You guys are the sweet today. What do you think about that?
I've heard that
sweet.
Before.
You guys are like
That's
a-
not the first time you've been called that, John.
You guys are like Crystal 40.
You guys are definitely the Crystal 40 of this show.
Or like soft blonde sugar.
Well,
I don't know what
JP is like the crystal meth.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true. I don't know what that makes Doc.
I don't know.
The black patent. Super bitter.
Always bitter. But we do have, it's really going to be a great show. I'm just giving you a heads up right now. And we're going to start in with the bad news early. And also, I'm thinking that some of the bad news we could have stretched over a couple of shows, but we figured we ought to just throw it all in at once and just get it over with. You know what I mean? Since we got it. So don't fear, everybody. Don't get nervous. The studio hasn't caught fire or anything like that. We're still going to be here, but we've got some things to tell you about, and not the least of which is in all seriousness, I want to talk about real quick. It's an update for you guys. So Linda Stark has passed away. And
oh, that's too bad.
It was 2 days ago, and she died at home with her family, surrounded by family and friends. But she did, despite everybody's best efforts, lose that battle with cancer that she had been fighting for a long time. And I'm really sorry about that. It was really not a good thing to hear about. And we have lost one of the great people in the industry, and it's really too bad. Yeah. And I want to say thanks to everybody for every bit of time and money that you donated to Linda. And, when we were doing the donation drive, it was for some treatments, for some experimental treatments that she was going for. And she did go get at least one, maybe two of those. I don't remember. And I think it was Jamil that pointed out to me at one point, everything costs money, so I want you all to know that every bit of those donations is still really an amazing help to Linda's family now, and some of those treatments still have to be paid for. You can be certain. So
even just to keep her morale up during the thing,
funeral expenses and
And you guys really came together and did a fantastic job, including our sponsors and all the listeners. And I want to give you my personal thanks for that, and and on behalf of the family too. They sent us a card, a thank you card, just to thank the BN and its listeners for being involved and doing whatever we could. So that card is just as much to you folks at home as it was to us, and I wanted you to know about that. And so I'm real sorry. Everybody did it was a really nice thing that everybody did, and we're sorry to have lost Linda. So that is the update about that. You can't call us today because we are back in the studio. 888-401-BEER is our phone number, and you can Skype us as well. We do have some other things that we're going to have to talk about today. There's going to be some serious discussions today, and then, of course, we'll go on to having some fun. So fear not, everybody. The Brewing Network is still what it is, and we'll move on from the other things we have to talk about. I'm going to wait a little bit on our next announcement. But I should say right off the bat, today's show with John Palmer, it's going to be exciting. Not only am I going – I'm going to get a little personal with you there. Can I just call you Sweet now for the rest of the show?
Sweet thing.
Hey,
Sweet.
I was thinking I should have Skyped in. That'd been kind of fun. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, do you have any equipment that you need to test while we're on the air? Did you brought with you here, John?
Nothing mechanical.
Okay. I'm really excited about this show. In the first segment, when we start to interview John right after our first break, I'm going to get into some of the things that we didn't get enough time to cover in the 1 hour boil that we did with you. I want to talk more about your personal brewing, so we're going to kind of dig into that in the beginning. And then we're going to move on to our topic of the day, which is a new project that you and Jamil are working on.
Yep.
And it's going to end up being what we talk about today, which has to do with extract brewing. So you extract brewers out there who are looking to improve that process that you do, and also looking for resources to do it, this is going to be the show for you, because we're going to get into all that with these guys probably right around the 6 o'clock hour after we dig into John's personal life and find out why John is the way that he is. And John, you flew all the way up here just for this show, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've been looking forward all month to hanging out with you guys.
It's really cool. So have we.
He's going to be drinking.
You're going to be drinking a lot with us? Are you crashing here today?
Tonight? Yeah.
You are? Oh, so we're going to get you drunk.
And the couch over there is mine. And
You fight the dog.
You got to take dibs on it now. We've got listeners here. We've got everybody. Yeah, get to know the dog. And well, we're happy to have you. And we'll get you good and drunk. And then Doc might try to take advantage of you.
We'll get the duct tape out first.
Yeah, we might actually duct tape you to a window. So be careful.
We only do that to Australians.
Yeah, we only do that to the Oz. So that is our show topic for today. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a good show. Don't forget, you can Skype us. Brewing Network is our name. And you can also call us 888-401-BEER. We'd love to hear from you today, because it's been a while since we've gotten to talk to you at home. And we missed you while we were out broadcasting from downtown Joe's.
Well, it was good times, though, there.
It was really a lot of fun. And we're going to be doing it again. We won't be doing, like, three or four in a row like we did. But we're going to do them kind of one a month or one every other month kind of things. Because it is fun out there, and Colin's a very gracious host, so we will be doing that. But we want to hear from you today, because we haven't gotten to hear from you in a while, so looking forward to that. All right, let's do a little bit of feedback. Doc, I know you want your feedback song.
Gotta have the feedback song. I was upset last week because you didn't have it.
Can you turn me on, Justin?
That's the question. Big question. Yeah,
that's the question.
I don't know. How long has it been?
12 weeks.
About 12 weeks.
You're out here just talking really soft over there.
Am I?
Yeah, because I got you cranked.
You're good.
My mic seems to be weird. It smells like
really
JP too, I think.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Mics.
What have you been doing with it?
Can't tell you.
I got you as loud as you can go.
Listen to the last Lunch Meat show.
So, all right. Just speak up. Yelling.
I don't even know where
you're kind of on the side of the microphone. You can't do that.
In her chair.
Oh, okay.
I stink it up real good.
Oh, my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
There you go, Doc.
Thanks, man.
Feedback today. I really got a lot this week since the last show. So much so that not only did I have to cut out a lot, but I'm not even going to read the entirety of the emails that I am reading. That's how much I got.
Hit the highlights.
Yeah, hit the highlights. Someone wants to say, hey, Justin, great job on the live shows from Downtown Joe's. Colin is just a great guy and lots of fun to listen to if you're a brewing geek as well, like we are. Says, I must say that I got more from the last two shows recently that you guys did than I've gotten from the Jameel show recently.
No, I'll get the wax out of your ears, man.
Put that in your homebrew pipe and smoke it, Mr. Zana Chef. You like that, JP?
Mr. Numbers?
Maybe.
I got a number for you.
Is it because Jameel has been on those shows with us, too?
Yeah, that's true. JC's been the host of those shows with us. So that could be why.
Colin's a great guy.
Yeah, he really is really good.
Do I sense a Colin show every other Tuesday?
He didn't say colon, so calm down there, JP.
I said it, though.
He also wants Daniela to correct me, and the same writer wants to correct me on how to say Urige from the Doppelstick.
Urige.
How is it?
Urige.
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 My gosh, you're a lost case. Urige.
All right, well, there you go. I tried to have her correct me. That's what you wanted me to do.
Just say gay.
All right, here's the next one on, so going from our shows at Downtown Joe's have been great. Here's one about last one.
Uh-oh.
Dear Justin, what the hell happened to you guys on Saturday? I sat down to listen to the archive of the Sunday session and was tripped out. You guys sounded barely awake and lacked the usual excitement that makes me call in sick and brew instead. He said, you talked about this barley wine festival, but don't give us any real heads up on what the hell you drank. We got a whole story about the oxygen bong. Which, by the way, hey, if oxygen bongs are not newsworthy, I don't know what is. And on top of everything else, you really need to put Daniela's old song back. They don't like your new Daniela's World song.
I don't care.
So you need to put the old song back. I really think you should put that to a live vote. And then when that song comes up, he says, I usually find myself bouncing and humming. And what the fuck are you playing now? He says. What do you think they're going to write about you in the beer encyclopedia?
Encyclopedia?
Encyclopedia. However it is that you say it, Danielle.
Encyclopedia. Hey!
He says, I'll tell you this. Even on your worst days, which I've heard, you guys are still better than anything else out there that I watch or hear. So keep it up. And that's from SoCal Surfer. Thank you. You're right. We were pretty lethargic starting the last show, but it actually wasn't so much the hangover. It was the PA. I squealed across the PA of the entire Downtown Joe's, and I had to talk really quietly until we fixed it. So I came on, like, our intro of the show was, hi, welcome to the show. Because everyone who was there live knows that their ears got pierced.
The problem was Justin was squealing like usual.
Yeah. Is that why Colin came over and just ripped the plugs out?
Pretty much, yeah.
What the hell was that for?
Yeah. That and we were hungover from the barley wine thing. Next one, awesome show. I know everyone says that, but I actually mean it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And then he says, now help me. So it was just a ploy to get some help. It says, here's the deal. I've been a podcast listener for about 6 months, and I've learned a ton. I've been brewing for about 4 years, doing mainly mini mash extract. And after listening to your shows, I can't believe how much I've been doing wrong. I've corrected most of the BS mistakes, but still have one weird problem. So, Doc, I need you to pay attention and help with this, too.
Right.
On the last few pale ales and IPAs I've brewed, I've kegged them, force carbonated them, and left them in the kegerator for at least a week before serving. He says, the first few days of beers, call it 8 or 10 pints, pour and taste great, but after that I start getting this funky off flavor. It's kind of like a paper bag that I've heard you guys talk about. But why would that show up only after a few days of pouring? He says it's not happened with the brown ales and porters I've recently brewed. He brews 6.5-gallon glass carboys, racks to a 5.5-gallon secondary, also glass for aging. I'm careful not to splash the beer around during transfer, and I usually leave it in the secondary for about 2 weeks. What the hell is going on? Any ideas, guys, of what might be happening there? Jamil's saying, yeah, he might know.
I think all of us, sir.
All right. Start talking. Somebody.
Oxidation.
John, you want to do it? Since you're our guest today, you want to talk about what might be happening?
Oh, no, I'm not worthy in this crowd.
Wow.
No, oxidation, definitely.
Just oxidation?
Yeah. The pale styles will show up faster than the darker styles will.
And all that antioxidant thing about the roasted grains,
dark malt, sure enough,
actually helps those survive oxidation a little better.
Okay.
And, you know... As careful as you think you're being, you really want to get some CO2 in the keg before you go, and
or even in the carboy, fill your carboy with CO2 first. Yeah. No matter how careful you are, supposed to.
And he says secondary for 2 weeks. First off, no secondary.
Yeah, right?
Don't bother. I wouldn't bother. Other people do. That's fine. But if you're doing like a week of fermentation and 2 weeks of secondary, you know, there's no CO2 evolving after that, and you know, you get a lot of oxygen.
Just
in
put
there.
It in the keg and let it sit.
Yeah, and it'll take a little while for some of those oxidative flavors to show up. They'll show up pretty quick, but when they get strong enough to overcome all the flavors of the beer, all the fermentation flavors, the hop flavors, the malt flavors, you know, it takes some time.
Okay. So. All right. So there you go. That was from Steve right here in San Francisco. Hope that answers your question. Here's one, and Jamil and I have been talking about this. He says, first of all, you guys rock. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I would like to see a show on how to make a starter, and then also stepping up a starter with step-by-step instructions.
Step-by-step stepping up.
Yes.
So step up.
Thanks, guys, and that's from Tom. And Jamil's been getting a lot of emails about this, too, and forwarding them on to me. And I think we are going to do a starter show. I think we did cover it. Maybe we did it pretty generally on the first couple of shows that Jamil was on. I know we really focused on starters, but I'm thinking that maybe we didn't just cover exactly what to do with your starter. So we will be scheduling a show like that. I'm going to be talking to you, Jamil, so figure out when you have some time to come down here and do it with us. Because what I'd like to do is not just do the starter, but teach people how to use your pitching rate calculator, which is pretty self-explanatory, but I'm retarded and I haven't figured it out
yet. There's a lot
of
things in there that's kind of difficult. Yeah. You know, they're not that obvious, I think.
Okay.
Starters kind of scare people, too, if they haven't done one yet.
Yeah. And even me, I still forget all the time. Like, I'm always, when I go to B3 and I buy the DME to do my starter, I always have to ask, how much DME again for this? And so we'll kind of just, I think, cover it A to B. We'll cover the pitch rate calculator because I think that's a great tool that you have on MrMalty.com.
Yeah, and you can do a tutorial on that.
Yeah, how to use it. And we'll do a starter show. So rest assured.
It definitely needs a tutorial.
We'll schedule it. Because you got the new one up, too, with even more features.
Yeah,
right?
It needs like a small book.
Yeah, okay.
Explain what's going on.
So we'll do that for you guys. So just hang
Mr.
in there.
Mr. Malty for Dummies?
Yes. That's what you gotta do. This last one's real long. I don't know if I'm going to read all of it. He just says he really likes the show. A lot of good things about you. You want me to read the good things about you, Daniela?
No.
Why not?
No, okay. Go ahead.
she knows no one will believe him anyway.
Talking about
you're
you.
Just jealous.
Talking about you in the chat room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't read that.
Well, he got to listen live for the first time, I think, like last week, and he said it was just awesome because of the experience in the chat room and being able to ask questions and then have them answered on the show within minutes. He really thought that was incredible and a really fun resource. He says he likes sitting down with you guys and gal. Said it feels like he's with us in person and drinking some brew and chatting about what we love, which I'm glad to hear that because that's the point of the chat room. That's why I always tell you guys to at least listen live once and go on in there and bask in the rowdiness that is our chat room. And they've been pretty tame lately anyway. So he says, and speaking of gal, I have no idea how Daniela is able to coordinate all this stuff. She is the queen of the chat room, which JP is going to be upset that you are now the queen of the chat room.
I'm already crying inside.
She's the queen of the chat room, deciding what part of the chatter is significant and what is just random noise. Passing on the good stuff and responding appropriately to the BS and the flirts makes me proud to be 25% German, he says.
Oh, there you go. Wow, that's a great testimony.
Yeah, he's cool.
Well, yeah, and he's right. Like, usually we really try to answer the questions immediately within a few minutes. Sometimes the guys don't get discouraged because it takes a little bit. It needs to be matched into the flow of the show. And if a question doesn't get answered, it's Justin's fault.
It's usually true.
I pass everything on.
It's usually true. Yeah, and sometimes we really do hold on to the questions till, you know, end of the show. So, you know, I know a lot of people you ask and then you got other stuff to do, but you're just going to have to come back to the archive to get the answer on occasion. But most of them, if they're on topic, they go right through.
Yeah, and we've learned a lot in that matter. I remember our first shows 2 years ago when they were, you know, they were tricking me a lot. They asked questions constantly about the wetness factor, for example. I didn't know what that was, or the schmoo, or all those things. Now yeah. We do.
Or the pearl necklace.
The pearl necklace.
Classic one.
That is a good one.
We've gotten a little better.
Yeah.
Just because you've gotten smarter, that's all.
Good email. He says a bunch of nice stuff about me. Nobody wants to hear that. He says, I think there's one issue that you don't promote enough, which is donations. And, you know, everybody knows there's a donate button there. We mention it every now and then. And I do want to take this opportunity to thank. We've gotten some pretty nice donations lately. It's funny how they always seem to come at the right times, too. Like right when, you know, we're about to get, like, evicted and stuff. And we then pay the bills with them. You guys are great at that. So thanks to everybody. He just says, you know, he knows it's costing you guys a bunch of cash, not to mention the work you do. He says, tonight, I was totally entertained and educated for 3 amazing hours. I really had fun and will try to repeat the adventure every chance I get. And he says, so what? How much would it cost me to have that much fun elsewhere? A trip to Disneyland, a Stones concert, Mardi Gras in New Orleans?
The hooker.
It's not that fun.
I think that's more fun than listening to Justin.
Yeah, that's Scott. True. So I just kind of want to say, you know, you guys provide a lot of bang for the buck. So he's happy to donate, and he did, and we thank him. That's from Chris in North Hollywood. And we also thank everybody else. You guys are really supportive. And if you can't donate, don't. We don't expect you to. We do this thing for free. And we understand the poor wagon. We're on it. So,
but those of you rolling in cash, Bill Gates, I know you're listening.
Yeah, Bill?
It's worth a buck an hour. Come on.
Do us a favor,
come on, Bill.
Buddy.
$3. Come on.
$3.
Hand
$3
it over.
A show.
Tree Fitty.
Tree Fitty.
Yeah. So, there you go, and that is your feedback for today. Are you guys ready for Daniela's World Vigorosa? I'm going to do your old music today, just for that listener.
Oh, you pissed her off.
I'll do both of them.
Okay, can you do it at the same time?
I'll do the old one.
I was going to say, same time.
Yeah. I guess, I'll do the old one.
Okay. There you go. It's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, except
the
maybe
music.
Not today, Daniela's World Vigorosa.
Oy, this shit's a festival.
Who likes the song?
Everybody, yeah.
It's better than the new one, that's for sure.
You think so, JP?
Oh, yeah.
The new one's like in Korean or something, isn't it?
Try to do something new and nobody likes it.
Apparently it's French.
Try to be cutting edge.
I thought it was Korean or something, too.
And what happens? So, Daniela, go ahead, please.
My World Vigorously tonight is actually my world because I have to say something about myself. And it is that I will be leaving the United States on the 5th of March for a great job in Germany. Mm-hmm. So I will be kind of leaving the Sunday show for now.
Yeah.
Like, I got a really good offer and I just couldn't refuse it. And I have to go. So next Sunday will be my last show on the Brewing Network.
Yeah. Keep in mind, it's not April. This is no fool's joke.
No, anybody. It's not.
Yeah, 1 week. Not to mention that I failed to put on deodorant all the time. She's sick of that.
Yeah, I hate
that's
your
what drove
stink.
Her out of the country.
Yeah. So, yeah, Daniela will no longer be in the studio with us.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have to call in. You can Skype in.
It's 2 a.m. in Germany.
I got a headset that works really well. You can borrow it.
We've tested it. It does work really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't think of it as losing a brewcaster. Think of it as gaining a European correspondent.
There you go.
There you go, yeah.
You know. And that's really, we do have
really?
some plans to do that. Daniela will still be doing an occasional Daniela's World Vigorously, probably recorded, and we'll play them on the show for you. And other things, as you're, you know, just traveling around and getting drunk, you got to record some of that for us, you know.
Well, we'll see about that, yeah. Well, if you buy me a recording device.
Yeah.
You know, when my wife heard this,
yeah,
she said, oh, we need to go to Germany and visit Daniela.
There you go.
Nice. So you're already winning.
The other day she's saying, you know, I could move to Germany. And I'm like, all right,
great.
What's that? Kids, go to college.
Yeah.
Mom and dad are moving to Germany.
Put that on your calendars, folks. Another depressing announcement when Jameel's kids go off to college. No more Jameel show.
Up 2 o'clock in the morning's nothing.
Danielle, so he'll still be up drinking.
2 o'clock in the morning drinking.
Don't you think all the styles would have been done by the time his kids make it into college?
Maybe.
It's Mr. Henning's birthday, and he just told me that's
done,
a shitty birthday gift for him.
Oh, you just ruined Henning's birthday.
Yeah.
Well, my brother Tim's birthday, too.
Is that right? No. He doesn't care, though.
It's Kilroy's birthday, too.
People asking me how long I will be gone, it's infinite. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I have a job there, so it's going to be more than 2 weeks.
You might get laid off or fired or something.
Listen to Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
No problem.
Yeah.
Doc's reaction was the best anyways. Like I tell him 1 week ago when we were driving up to Napa, I tell him, so Doc, I'm leaving the country. I'm leaving the show. You're dead to me.
That's what he said. You're dead to me. Yeah, he wouldn't have any of it.
People also want to know what you did to me, Justin, that makes me leave the country.
I think it's what he didn't
do. It was going to be my fault. I feared this part of the conversation. It's not my fault. I can't compete with a good job in Germany. I mean, what am I going to do, give her an allowance?
Okay. Better there
a semi-homeless
here's a dollar.
You know, I think
guy.
It was the donations weren't big enough.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get some more donations here. Maybe we can keep you.
Keep her.
No.
That's your salary?
Oh, no. No.
That's a good donation.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's a job. I have a master's degree in marketing and economics, but I really always wanted to work in marketing. I'm going to be the European channel marketing manager, which is a job I've wanted to do since I was like 20 or 18, since I went to school. So it's a great opportunity, which I have to take. It's like, you know, all of you guys have dreams, too, and all of you guys have the ideal profession, so
I'm
put yourself
my
into
dream.
My shoes.
Yeah,
we are all dreams.
For some, it might be a MP3. For others, it might be on a radio, but I have to take this job jumped at me, and I have to take it.
JP, like, fights suicide daily. You're telling him that he's got the dream job.
JP, there's a difference
don't
between
fight
living
it,
the dream
don't
and
it.
Living the fantasy.
It's
know?
True. That's true.
People want to know if I'm going to be around for any of the Brewing Network party activities and stuff, like anniversary show. Yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah,
depends on the donations.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
I won't be at the Nationals. I won't be at the GABF, most likely. I won't be at any of those festivals in 07.
Poor Danielle is really sad.
Yeah. She's going to cry.
We might as well not even show up for these.
Yeah, I think people on Southwest are crashing their server trying to cancel their flights now. Thanks.
Daniela's world virtuously.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. I'm really excited. I'm going back to Munich. I already have an apartment which is surrounded by the Hofbräuhaus, the Paulaner Wirtshaus, the Augustiner Wirtshaus.
And that's where me and my wife are going to be staying.
Yeah.
So it's literally
good,
in walking distance. It's like all those places are like 150 meters away.
That sounds quiet and relaxing.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So we got to be happy for Daniela, except for Doc, who is...
You're dead to me.
Well, don't you knock at my door in Germany, then.
And I'll be kicking it down.
Well, the good news is we do have one more week with her. So,
it's true.
So it's not the last show. We still get to do a farewell show next week. And for you chatters, you know, Danielle is pretty much irreplaceable, but we're going to try to put someone there who at least take your questions. We'll do our best to find someone, you know, who's good at it, and we'll see what we can do. And it's a real bummer. Like, I don't know, the show just won't be the same. Everybody knows that. So we'll have to try to make frequent calls, and I'll record our conversations and play them over the air.
But, you know, change is a chance for improvement. That's how I see it.
Yeah,
the show won't be the same, but, you know, it should be better.
I'm glad you'll be better.
Doc's not even going to show up.
People want to know how you're going to survive without me.
Well, yeah. It's easy to survive without you with a serious heroin habit, and I think that's what's going to develop here.
Yeah, look out for me. Yeah. If I start sounding like extra happy or asleep, like during the shows, that's when you have to start worrying.
If you start sounding like the Jameel show, you know it's all over.
Hi, my brewing brothers and sisters. Welcome to the No Daniela Show.
And I'm just really warm right now.
What do they mean? Like they don't know what I'm like. They don't know how I'm going to survive. Like monetarily. Is that what they're worried about?
They're worried about everything.
Pretty
actually.
Much everything. Yeah,
I can see. The
you'll never be late again.
Well, let's say
the
this.
Only person in the studio doing the show. You know.
by himself.
Yeah, I'll just be here by myself. Well, I will say this.
You think the rest of us are going to show up without her here?
No, that's what I'm saying.
We're going to have pre-recorded voices.
Everything's
And what
change.
Do you think, Ted? Oh, that's really great.
Yeah, I'll just start talking to the biscuit and have her help me co-host the show.
Which is the dog.
Hey, biscuit.
I want to say that as you guys send in your homebrew to be tasted now, go ahead and throw like some cheese and stuff in there.
You know, some government cheese.
Some uncooked rice.
Maybe like an extra sandwich.
Some macaroni and cheese.
Whatever you got.
Some leftovers from the barbecue pit.
Kraft singles.
Whatever you got. Anything, every little bit helps.
Saltines.
Trader Joe's gift cards.
Beef jerky.
You're screwed.
Here's a Slim Jim.
You're really screwed.
I can't allow for that. You have to eat well.
Yeah, well.
No, the void will be filled with beer.
I'll just drink more beer. It's going to suck. We're real bummed. And like I said, at least we get one more show to have a little party, I guess, next Sunday.
We'll see.
That's what we'll do. Or we'll just sit around and cry for 3 hours, you know.
No, it's really cool. The cool thing is also that I'm going to go to Germany and I'm going to bring brew equipment there and I'm going to teach my friends how to brew. John just gave me a copy of his book, so I'm going
to
read that on my flight.
All those
and
Germans
then
won't
I'm
know how
bring,
to brew. Yeah.
They won't. No. There's no hope.
Yeah,
there's no hope. They got good beer to drink.
Where are you going to buy anything other than the four ingredients?
I don't know.
Yeah, you'll have to make friends with Paul Honor. Don't you have a friend that works at Paul
Honor? I do, yeah. A very good friend of mine works there.
You get all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool, actually, that you're going to go start a little homebrew revolution in Munich.
Yeah, know? Why not?
Because they need it.
They do need it. Yeah, there's not enough good beer around in Munich. They got to make their own. Yeah, everybody's happy for you, I'm going to say, even though they didn't tell me. I think it's a good thing. It's a good job, like you said. He always wanted it, so, you know.
Yeah, one eye is crying, one eye is happy.
Is that like an old German saying or something?
And the third eye.
No, I think it's real. Like, she needs to see a doctor, brother.
Yeah,
before she leaves.
You do look a little strange.
Yeah. I'm trying to cry out of both eyes, but not one wants to work.
We have Andy Kilroy, the guy who does the comic strip for us. You can go to WDMG.com to look at his word, Drunk Me Genius. Andy, I'm wondering if you can draw like a one eye's crying, one eye's... he's on it already. He's giving me the thumbs up. He's going to look like the Joker.
That's a good suggestion coming from the chat room. How about we take the show and everybody to Germany?
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, oh, there you go.
Listeners, start hitting the donate button. JP needs a first-class flight.
Yeah, didn't we just bitch about donations? Now we're going to all right, let's go to Europe.
Now we're going to Germany.
What time is it in Germany right now?
It's 2 a.m. Somebody is just
drinking
asking
time.
If I can just Skype in and co-host the show from that. I'm not making any promises. I'm going to try as often as I can to be live on the show. I kind of told my boss that I have a very important assignment here and that he will have to be a little bit flexible with me sometimes.
You did?
Yes.
What a liar.
Aren't people in Germany drinking their breakfast beer till 10 o'clock anyways? I mean, you could use that time for sleeping.
That's true, yeah.
You'd be fine.
So I'm going to try, you know, every once in a while. I'm definitely going to try to Skype in and give you guys updates and stuff like that. So I also have an insane, obscene amount of vacation days, so I have to utilize those. And
yeah,
maybe I'm going to do it
like
for
that.
The Brewing Network.
Good vacation days. We don't get vacation. How much vacation do you get, JP?
On lunch meet?
What are we talking about?
I get 2 weeks.
One big vacation. Yeah.
See, they get like automatically in Europe. They get like they start with four or something.
That's
or
amazing.
Six
moves
yeah.
up to six.
Six is required.
I need more.
Not to mention all the holidays. Isn't there like plenty of Monday holidays? Because then you could stay up late and do the show.
There, it depends. I mean, we have 15 national holidays, so we might luck out on some of those. And I have 15. An additional 30 vacation days plus as many sick days as I need. So the 30 are really vacation days.
Couldn't you just take every Monday of the year off?
There's 52 weeks, stupid.
You don't have 52 days. You only have 30.
Well, 30, and then you're sick every Monday.
And you got the 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 45.
You're real close.
You're sick for 7.
Or just work.
We're there.
Work Tuesday through Saturday.
Score!
No, just find somebody else to do this job. It's not that hard. It is pretty hard, though.
Time
really?
To hit the stripper bar.
You bitch about it every about 9 o'clock every Sunday. Oh, it's so much work in the chat room today.
Try to find somebody. Dr. Scott was already telling you the profile he wants. Big boobs.
Yeah.
Blonde hair. Yeah.
I think we're going to do all our interviewing Skinny. At the Gold Club in San Francisco.
But does his mom time. Like beer?
Oh, snap. And he didn't even get his headphones off, John. That was a piece of gold right there, my friend.
Okay, I think we found our winner right there.
We're already looking in the magazine. Oh, yeah, in Draft Magazine. Yeah. They do like this bartender of the month.
Yeah.
They want her as
where she? Where does she live?
I think that's disgusting, Daniela.
Well, Justin, at this point, I don't really care.
Yeah, if it's a hot guy, that's really in.
No, it's been an awesome ride. Thanks for everything, guys.
Very good. All right, so we could talk more about it if you want, but we've got other things to talk about today. We got John Palmer in the studio with us, and we're going to talk about a new project between John and Jamil, and lots of fun to be had today. It's a full studio, and I don't know, we're going to start drinking and stuff. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
To three guys. Excuse me? What about me?
Sorry. You're listening to three guys and one girl use a radio show as an excuse to drink more beer. The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
We only get to play that ID one more time, JP.
That's true.
Just announce, if you're just tuning in, Daniela will be leaving the show because she doesn't like JP.
Yeah, her and I had a falling out. She has two black eyes. I have one.
but there's lots more that we can do. Did you find it, Daniela? All right, fantastic. We got John Palmer in the studio with us today, and we're real happy to have him. This guy, I want you to know, is so dedicated to brewing that not only does he test his Skype equipment on a brewing show to remain unnamed, not only does he take phone calls in the studio while we're on the air, but he flies up here specifically for the show. Like, he had nothing else to do up here but this show, and he came up because he wanted to hang out in the studio with us. And we appreciate that, because we've done some Skype shows with you, and we did the interview with you, the one-hour boil interview, and all of that's great, but we've wanted to do the whole live interaction thing with you, mostly so that we can find out if you get any smarter the more you drink. And that's kind of what we're going to try to do today, as he's chugging out of a bottle as I speak. He's got like a 40.
I meant finish your glass and pour some in your glass, you heathen.
He just grabbed it and took it to the head.
Yeah. Well, here you go. Wah, wah, wah.
So today's topic that we're going to cover is going to be extract brewing, which we're going to get into in just a little while. Hang in there. I want you to get to know John Palmer a little bit. And we did cover kind of how you got into writing the book in the one-hour boil. That was part of our interview. And I wanted to get to the nitty-gritty during that, since we only had an hour. So we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time about you and how you got into brewing and the whole thing. And I wanted to get that out of you because, you know, we talk about your book here as like one of the, you know, definitive resources that'll cover everything about how to brew. And I think people might want to know where the hell you came from if we think so highly of you.
Mars.
You know? Definitely Mars.
Oh, gosh.
So how long have you been brewing?
Since I got married. 91, 92. I think I started in 92.
A real brewer, by the way, judges his marriage by how long he's been brewing.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you figure out that time.
Yeah.
What do you think of first?
Yeah, exactly.
You get married, you go, I need a hobby.
I need a hobby.
Yeah. So, okay, so 19 years. And did you start like the rest of us? You were kind of a beer fan and you wanted to do it yourself or what?
Well, I went to school at Michigan Tech, and Michigan has had a lot of local breweries. I mean, still, you know, we had Frankenmuth, we had Stroh's down in Detroit, and you could go into, you know, the local bars up at school and get, you know, Michelob Dark, Stroh Dark. The local, you know, Upper Wisconsin breweries had dark beers they called Bock beers. I mean, you know, back then we thought Bock meant dark.
Yeah.
So I come out, I see Beverly Hills Cop, and it's like, ooh, that looks like fun. And move out to California.
Yeah.
And it's...
So did I. That's amazing.
All Corona all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as nice as the Corona Girl was, you know, the beer was just a little lacking, and I wanted the dark beers that I had had in college.
Okay.
And figured, you know, how hard can this be? So I went to the public library and checked out books on brewing and just got started. I found a local homebrew shop in the Yellow Pages and got started and had that first bad batch of beer. And
yeah.
Just get it under your belt. The first one's going to be bad. Just do it.
Now, yeah, really.
At that time, did you go like you do at B3 and you like buy a whole kit? Like it's all ready made? Or do you have to go and say, hey, I need this?
Yeah, no,
there's that.
They had, you know, this was, they had their starter kit, you know, a couple of buckets and this and your first kit.
Okay.
And, I got something, you know, that it was advertised as American Light Lager, so I thought, oh, yeah, my wife will like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like a 50% corn sugar beer, and it tasted like water. Oh, it was terrible. I mean,
and what was the other 50%? Just like a tin can?
You know, liquid malt extract in a bucket. It was all, I think the corn syrup and the malt extract were mixed together in the bucket.
Really?
So you just kind of, you know, start this, ferment with some pellet hops, and I brewed this, and the fermentation went so well. I was so proud, and I tasted some, and I'm like, yuck.
Yeah.
And I took it to the shop, and I said, what went wrong with this brew? I mean, you know, it fermented okay. It was a little warm in the house, yeah, but it tastes terrible. And he goes, no, this is good beer. And said, no, it's not. It is not good beer.
I see the impetus for a book already, because you're like, these are the quote-unquote experts selling me this stuff.
Oh, yeah, and then that was, you know, right around the time the internet was getting started, so I got on the Homebrew Digest, and people said, oh, yeah, don't do that, don't do this. You know.
Okay.
And so, you know, and then you see people coming on the internet, you know, on the Homebrew Digest with the same questions on the news group saying, you know, my first batch was crap, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, don't do that. Don't do this.
Ah.
And I ended up writing How to Brew Your First Beer.
Okay.
You know, back then I wanted, it was like a one-page thing saying, you know, don't follow the instructions on the can. Don't, you know, ferment at 80 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of basic do's and don'ts so that they could get that first batch to come out right. And, and they would get a first batch that they considered beer.
Yeah. Okay. So you really kind of even started it there, because it's amazing to go to a homebrew shop and just be kind of told the wrong stuff. So that's a great thing.
You sure they didn't tell you that just because they wanted you to buy another kit?
Yeah, no, you're the best brewer we've ever had.
John Palmer? was that the John out at the place in the valley? I don't want to name names here, but the place out in the west side of the valley?
No, the place is no longer there. It's in Orange County.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
He does that. It's like, oh, this is great, yeah. Buy stuff.
Well, you don't want to discourage people either.
Right.
You know, no people aren't going to make the best beer in the world first batch out. Yeah.
No, and I went back to the same shop, and they had an all-grain class, and he showed, you know, mini mashing in a small cooler in a like 3 or 5 gallon cooler or something like that.
Okay.
And you know, so it made it really accessible, and I tried my first mini mash shortly after that, and it worked. And I made a Sierra Nevada Porter clone, and it worked great.
Okay.
So
so definitely hooked instantly, kind of a thing. You fell in love with it right off the bat, even though your beer wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, that's part of the thing. I mean, being an engineer, you know, when something doesn't go right, there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I immediately delved into those reasons.
Yeah, could you tell me what happened to my life, John, please?
We don't have enough time on this show.
I can tell you exactly what it got a better job and it's moving.
Yeah, good point.
Okay,
JP.
She
good
summary. Didn't hear it at all.
That's why we like JP. He's good. He's just good.
Doesn't think like a normal person, but every once in a while he's funny.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my nickname is JP also?
Is that right?
Yeah.
The old JP.
Why would that be?
Now it's sweet, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. We've moved.
I got a lot of people on the Morbier forum sending me emails. Not a lot, but a couple. Going, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. I love your book. I'm like, thanks, but it's not really out yet. Yeah. Oh, you're not John Palmer? No, John Palmer is, I think, John Palmer.
Yeah.
On the
I would just lie, JP.
Sorry.
I'd be like, thank you. I wrote it for you.
In fact, thank you for Johnny Plissé.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I come out swinging.
You pretty much get mistaken for everybody except yourself.
Except me, I know.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It all right, saves some lawsuits, yeah.
So John, or Sweet, by the way, now that whenever you see John in public, he goes to a lot of these things. Please feel free to come up with some variation of Sweet and call him that.
Rock candy.
But not cloying.
I'll just call you Rock.
Yes.
Not cloying.
No.
Can't wait to tell the wife about this one.
Yeah. Why do they call you that? Don't worry, dear. So you started with this kind of an online one-page basics of brewing. And now I've spoken to you. You kind of said that this is interesting. When you do something great like that, instead of people going, sweet, thanks, now I'm on my way, they ask for more, right? And so you were kind of saying that once you did that, people just wanted more and more detail because that was the basics.
Yeah, well, yeah. They
one page.
They like that. They like the way I'd written it up. They liked, you know, the step-by-step and, you know, some of the pointers. And they said, yeah, you should write something on all grain. And it's like, that's an involved process. And, you know, I could see doing it. But then being an engineer, I thought, you know, I've got to explain why you do it this way and why you do it that way.
Yeah.
And I said, that's going to take a book. So then I started working on the book about 1995.
Okay. What'd you tell your wife when you were, like, you know, because you got like your day job, you're still an engineer, and now you're coming home and spending all this time in a book. Like, first, you didn't know if it was going to do anything for you, did
you? Well, you know, that was BC, you know, before children. So, okay.
So it was a little better.
Yeah, I had time.
Okay.
Close the door, honey. I'm masturbating. Please leave me alone. Yeah,
like that was a better answer than I'm writing a brewing book.
Exactly. That's what I'm using later.
Get you off the hook faster.
Yeah.
Keeps them out of the room. Yeah.
We got. There was a forum discussion. One of our listeners last week was hanging out in the chat room with us during the Sunday show, and of course he took his pants off because you just tend to do that. Our listeners, I don't know why. And his wife came home and walks in, and he's in front of the computer with no pants on. Yeah. And she's like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, looking at porn. And really, he's watching the show. He's like hanging out with us. It's a better answer to browse.
Having a picture of beer on the screen would be hard to explain in that context.
Yeah, exactly. So you started the first How to Brew, which, by the way, and this is a cool thing of you, the first edition of How to Brew is available for free on your website.
Yeah.
So you can go to howtobrew.com, and if you're not ready to buy the new one, and shame on you, because you should, it's all there. I think that's pretty cool that you have the whole first edition. Just take it from the site.
Big caveat, though, on that. I haven't updated that first edition very much. I mean, a couple places I have, but one thing that it seems like I really recommend is the use of secondaries. And this, you know, question came up earlier. You know, it fermented for a week, then I racked it.
Yeah.
I don't recommend using a secondary so much anymore.
I mean,
at the time, 95, 96, 97, when I was writing that, you know, that was the state of the art, and you did that. But, you know, talking to yeast experts, you know, for over many years since then, you don't need to do that.
Okay.
And I routinely don't rack to a secondary these days. And the third edition of the book talks about that. You know, racking's good for some beer styles, but most of the time you don't need it.
Yeah.
Just leave it in the primary, leave it there for 2-3 weeks, and, you know, let it settle, and you're good.
And me and Denny Kahn, by the way, love both you and Jamil for those words right there, that we don't have to secondary, because we're real lazy and we don't want to.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, we're pragmatic. You know,
siphoning's a pain.
Yeah, it is. And then just briefly, the possible introduction of infection and oxygen and all the rest. So, okay, so now but that's kind of still in the first edition that's on the website?
It is.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
So a good disclaimer there. All right, and so... You now kind of publish. I think that people think when they see a great book on the shelf and it's bound and it's professionally published and this whole thing, they kind of go, oh, so this guy's a writer and this is what he does. But you really self-distributed that whole first edition. You kind of did it out of your house, didn't you?
Yeah, it was always my intention to you know, publish a book and get it out there. I mean, just to get good brewing info out there. I mean, my original plan was like, you know, Papazian, Miller, and Palmer. And, you know, Papazian had the, you know, relax, don't worry attitude. Miller had the more technical attitude and, you know, more textbook. And I wanted to kind of, you know, split the difference.
Yeah.
And get some of the technical stuff out there, but explain, you know, when you needed it and when you didn't. And so I think I achieved my goal.
Okay.
But, yeah.
It's really a great book. If anybody out there does not have it, get the book, read the book, follow the book.
Yeah,
you'd just be happy having the book,
and
on
that means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah,
you should
rub it against you before you brew.
And
things will go better.
You should put a section in there about how to not have your beer spill out onto the carpet, just for the next edition.
I do. There's a paragraph in there that says, "Do not attempt to pick up the brew pot with one hand and a stool with the other at the same time.
Aha,
it will spill."
In fact, you should just have a section called, and it doesn't even have to say a lot. You could just say
Justin.
Like, "Don't be Justin." Like, you could say that, and it would in the next edition. And that'd be fine.
Okay.
Too.
Jamil?
You can have that. Copyright involved or anything. I won't try to sue you or anything. You can put that right in the book. So you did self-distribute this thing for a while, though, and then...
Yeah, we were originally going to publish it. The good folks at Brewing Techniques were going to publish it.
Okay.
They had, you know, resource issues, and it did not happen with them. And so I took it back, and at the time I thought, self-publishing, just a nightmare, too much trouble. So I called up Mark DeSilva at the Real Beer Page and said, would you guys be interested in publishing on the net?
Yeah.
And he said, sure. So that's what we did. We spent another 6 months, you know, getting it ready for web publication.
Okay.
And then, you know, building the databases, et cetera, and revising it yet again, I guess. Put it up on the web, and then that was June 2000. And then a couple months later, I was telling my wife, it's like, yeah, it's getting, you know, like 40,000 or 60,000 hits a month. And, you know, it's like,
wow.
She goes, wow, do you mean 5 years of ignoring the children and we're not going to make any money off this?
Yeah, yeah.
So then I started the hard copy edition.
Okay, right. To try to recoup something.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, you know, and getting a lot of things done. Especially, I mean, if you read this book, like Jamil's saying, go ahead and just read it. Like, you don't have to listen to us talk about it. Read it. If you read it, you're going to go, shit, this guy really looked into almost every aspect of what you should be looking into for us and put it into this kind of a condensed version. I heard a rumor. I want to know if this rumor is true. You were just talking about the other two books, Charlie's book, mm-hmm. and then Miller's book. I heard a rumor that you didn't, before writing yours, mm-hmm. you didn't want to read, say, Charlie's book because you wanted a fresh, you just wanted to do it like somebody who needed to know how to do this stuff, not do it like, oh, this book didn't have it. Kind of thing.
Well, that's true, and but the reasons are different.
Okay.
When my first trip into the brew shop, getting my starter kit, the proprietor said, you know, well, if you're more of an engineering type, you probably want Miller's book because it goes into more of the science. I said, oh yeah, that's what I want. And I liked Miller's book, and I read it, and that was, you know, his complete guide to home brewing.
Yeah.
And so. At the time, you know, there was a religious war between Miller and Papazian in the homebrew scene.
Really?
There really wasn't a lot of books out there.
No, there's.
And
just
Miller was my first book.
Yeah.
Are they buddies now? Or is there like bad blood? Nobody knows, huh?
I don't know. I met Dave Miller in 95. It was 95? 96, sorry.
I see.
At the New Orleans AHA National Conference. And, you know, of course I went up to his, he was eating breakfast with his wife, and I went up there and was like, hi, I'm John Palmer. I really love your book. Wanted to shake your hand.
Yeah.
He's, oh, well, you know, nice to meet you. He was really cool about it, you know, as I interrupted his breakfast.
Yeah. And now people do that to you. Yeah.
Yes, and I
and I throw my eggs at them.
No, I'm telling him, it's like, I've been in your shoes, man. I'm nothing special.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell him you're JP and go away.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
Good idea.
No, I'm sorry. I'm actually JP. Oh,
but,
damn it.
Yeah, but at the time, there was this, you know, this real dichotomy of, you know, Miller fans and Papazian fans.
Okay.
And
now I think you've replaced
and you. So I didn't. When I started writing my book, I said, you know, I'm writing it. This is my perspective.
Yeah.
And even though I borrowed heavily on a lot of the stuff Miller said, at the same time, I was going out and talking to George Fix and talking to, you know, a lot of other, you know, brewing experts at the time and trying to get more information and trying to get some of the whys behind the process.
Yeah.
And then I did not read Complete Joy Homebrewing or New Complete Joy until after my book was published.
You didn't? Okay.
Yeah. And then I read it and I thought, this is really interesting. He and I think alike. I mean, we organized the progression of subjects the same way.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. See, when I heard the rumor, I really wanted to ask you about it because I thought it was a great way to write a book like yours because you think it's kind of like.
You know, honestly, the reason I didn't read his book initially was just arrogance and pride. I mean, it's like, I'm a Miller fan.
Yeah.
You know, not,
I'm not reading that crap. I'm with Miller.
Sad.
Yeah. Now you've gone back and realized the error of your ways.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. What we're here to do today with John is talk about a new project, and we're going to take a break. But why don't you guys talk about what's happening just before the break here? Just announce it quickly, what you guys are doing, because it'll lead us into our discussion.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, you guys.
You've become romantically linked.
Yeah.
There you go. And so the rest of the show is going to be about two men using extract in a romantic linked kind of way.
Sweet.
I've always been a big Jamil fan.
So I call him Rock Candy.
Pull your pants up, Justin.
Come here, Rock Candy. We're brewing.
Rock Candy.
Pour that extract on, David.
That's disgusting. Like, I thought sweet was bad, but Rock Candy's just nasty.
Yeah.
Hard as a rock, it's sweet as candy.
It's like, that'll be my pro wrestler name. Yeah, whatever.
wrestler. Well, if you're not intrigued now, you're never going to be. We're going to take a quick break and find out what the hell these two freaks are talking about when we come back. John Palmer is in the studio with us, along with Jamil, Dr. Scott, JP, Daniela for just one more week. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
You're listening to The Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Well, I stumbled at 2 a.m. all drunk and full of smoke. My wife said I have had enough, that said I'm sick, get out! So I stumbled down to Kelly's pub across the edge of town. And I told the boys my story, and we had another round.
I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of Live Beer Radio. TheBrewingNetwork.com. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Fair, fucking fair, fucking fair. That means violence, right by me. Fucking fair.
We're back with John Palmer here on the Brewing Network, back in the studio this week, and for the first time, John's come up to hang out with us, and we're talking to him and Jamil.
I'm not leaving.
You're just going to stay? It's fun to be here, right?
It is.
But his glass is empty. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, because like, I kind of picture sometimes that you guys are at home on the Skype when you do these interviews, and that maybe you feel a little weird, because like, we're all in here having a party, and you're kind of like by yourself. Your wife's thinking, like, what the hell's going on in there?
I'm down in the garage. Sitting with my laptop,
no
talking,
pants,
to
no
nobody.
Pants.
Yeah.
So we're glad to have you back in the studio. We're glad to be back in the studio. 888-401-BEER, 888-401-BEER. That's our phone number. If you want to ask John any questions yourself, you can also Skype us. If I don't take your Skype call, just call back. It's because I'm looking at John doing the interview and I'm not looking at the
screen.
You're
looking at their avatar.
then I might choose not to accept your call if your avatar is too freaky. So just keep trying. If you were trying to Skype and we didn't get to you. Of course, you can always go into the chat room. Just hit the chat now button right on our homepage. And not only is it fun, but you can get questions over to us. Daniela writes them down and gives them to me, and I give them to them. And
it works out fine.
It's a very complicated system that we
have. It is a complicated system.
Organized. What is with the bird?
Yeah, what is this? Where's the little bird?
Is that John? Doing weird What is it with our... I just want to say that beer people are just odd. They're very strange. And they're all like our best friends, but they're so weird. Like, we sit around talking about people, and we go like, did you see that thing that they did? Like, that was weird.
You're weird, too.
And that's what I mean. Yeah. Yes. Like, we're all just...
I'm weird. Jamil is very weird.
Jamil.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. Weird
people don't
is good.
Know how weird Jamil is.
And like, if you're a brewer out there right now thinking, I'm not weird, you're the one who's so weird that we don't even want to discuss things with you.
That's why I love this industry so much, because it's weird.
They say that in every group, there's always one person that the whole group picks on.
That's
if you don't know who that is, that's you.
It's you.
It's the same thing. I don't know who the weird one is. I mean, everyone seems normal.
Yeah.
You're the creep.
You are. I actually think that John is going to end up being the weird one of this group that we all... I mean, he just was doing, like, bird sounds. That's very strange.
But they're good.
But he is good. So is that like another... Do you go out, like, bird calling? You have just weird
hobbies? I used to be in the church choir.
And they made you bird call?
Well, that explains it all.
That's what we did.
You know,
where there's bird, the bird
trill. She's trying to conduct birds, and we're back to her.
They're like, calling for Jesus.
They're like, John can't even do the triangle. Have him whistle something. Just let him whistle.
Hey, we're off topic right now anyways. Did you see the cartoon that Kilroy drew of me?
I did.
It's funny because it has one crying eye and one laughing eye.
You look very Asian in this one. I think that's a bit of Andy's fantasy coming out in this. Andy likes Asian women.
No, but like, I think it's...
And Daniela.
Let me see.
No, he's right. He did the one happy
well,
eye.
Well, I have kind of funny eyes for a white German person. That's true.
You do?
Yeah. Oh,
so like, maybe you're not all German.
Yeah.
Hey.
He just said you're not...
Uh-oh. Speaking of weird and creepy.
The Vinnie puppet just came in.
So I've always wanted to see this.
You know, Jack, we were talking about a pup turducken last night.
Yes. All right. I want to stay on topic as much as we can. It's going to be a fun show. We got everybody here, and I like that. But we have John Palmer and Jamil here, two great brewing minds, if not utter freaks. And I think that we should get as much out of you two as we can.
Get the freak on.
And I think what people will be kind of excited about is this new project that you two have joined forces on. Tell us what it really is. It's not the whole man love extract thing that we said before.
I got a nice soundbite for this.
You gotta.
John's already thinking about sound bites.
Whistle something.
Well, it started out as how to brew with extract and became Jamil's recipe book.
Is that what it is now? Now
I
it's
said,
just Jamil's recipe book.
Step aside. I know you're doing this book, but step aside, brother.
Yeah,
I'll show you how it's done.
Yep. I think I found
that's
rock candy, Jamil.
Oh, that's it. There you go.
This is when Jamil and John are writing together, they talk dirty and play this song.
What's the band?
The band is Montrose.
Oh, Montrose.
And the song is called Rock Candy.
Rock Candy, baby.
No, okay.
I just said we were going to stop dicking around. Hot, wet, and sticky.
Yeah, Sammy Hagar, right?
And then I play. Is it Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, Montrose. He fronted Montrose. Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't know my Sammy.
The hell's
Hagar.
Wrong with you? But you don't know your Montrose.
You're too young, dude.
All right, we'll come back to Rock Candy. So the book started
John's
out
hard,
being
sweet, and sticky.
Now, what do you mean it started out as an extract book and now it's a recipe book?
Well, I do have a marketing mind when it comes to, you know, how can I keep the image going, keep the book out in front of the public.
Keep his wife from bugging him.
Yeah, yeah, really. And it's like, what can I do next?
Yeah.
You need a hobby, and she needs to see the bottom line.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's exactly it.
You notice how concise Doc is about how to do that?
He is not wrong.
Yeah.
But I went to the home beer, what is it, home beer, wine, and something.
Cheese making shop.
Yeah.
Trade Association.
Oh, there you go.
Never mind.
All right.
And everybody says, yeah, you know, your book's great, but you move people too fast beyond extract to all grain. And he said, you know, they're saying, you know, as shops, we make more money off extract and extract brewing than all grain. The markup's better. And he said, so you need to write a book on how to brew with extract. And he said, I said, you know, that's a good thought. There's not a really good book on how to brew with extract and a good recipe book on how to brew with extract. And so I always had that kind of in the back of my mind, you know, as the second book I would write, and you know, maybe try a lot of the extract kits from the, you know, different major manufacturers, you know, Muntin's, Brees, Northwest, whatever else. What do you got?
Cooper's,
right? Yeah, you know, brew these and try them, and you know, give some suggestions on how they taste and, you know, how to improve them, but. While I was thinking of that, you know, the whole extract industry moved way beyond what it had been.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, going from 90 to 95 and 95 to 2000, there was a big shift in, you know, the quality of extract. For instance, B3 came online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so suddenly we have, you know, extracts targeted for home brewing. I mean, you know, you need Munich malt? We got Munich malt extract. You know, there's just... It used to be there was light, pale, amber, and dark. That's all you had. You know, and you had to make do with crystal malt and dark extract, or crystal malt and amber extract. That's all the variety you had.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, of course, you got anything you want, you can probably get.
It really is very different.
So I still wanted to do the How to Brew with Extract book, focus on, you know, improved extract brewing techniques. But at the same time, I am a techno geek. I am a engineer, a brewing engineer.
Yeah.
I focus on process. I focus on that sort of thing. I can come up with a recipe for any style. I mean, throw me a style, I'll whip up a recipe.
Okay.
It may not be a great recipe, but it'll be a recipe.
Well, shit, so, I can do that, John.
Yeah, well, you know, I can do it better than you.
Okay.
But you know, as I started thinking about this, it's like, you know, Jamil is the guy that can brew any style of beer.
Yeah.
And he's got the experience and so on. So when I started thinking about this, and it's like, I need some good recipes, I need some creative recipes, I thought of Jamil. And he and I started talking, and we came up with a concept for a book called Brewing with Style.
Uh-huh. Art meets science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it kind
Thanks,
of
Doc. Which
kind
was
of
supposed to be the name of the Monday show, actually.
It was. I nixed it.
Yeah.
I nixed it.
And they've nixed that, too. It's now like brewing classic... Boring Stars. Beers at home. Anybody
on Monday
can brew
morning.
Classic beers.
That's what the new title. Do you know what the title is? Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Brewing classic style.
Now
I
see. I didn't not like the name. I think it's a great name. I just like the Jamil show better because you're like an entity, and I felt we needed our own David Letterman. You know, and so that was you.
I am like David Letterman. I have a big gap between my teeth.
Yeah,
no, there the similarity ends.
So that was
stuck there.
Like that was my reason. What's their reason for not doing Brewing with Style? Like, what, they just didn't like it?
It sounded too...
Who's they, first of all?
Too
the publishers.
The powers
brew,
yeah, they, yeah.
The people who actually put
quote,
ink
it didn't
to paper.
Work. It doesn't work.
Yeah. But doesn't work?
But Radical Brewing
you want me to You want
so
me to talk to some people
on?
For you?
We gave up.
You did.
Yeah. John and
that.
I are real tigers.
Yes. Yeah. You guys really went after
We made a couple of impassioned pleas, you
John
know, logical
did.
Arguments.
I pretty much rolled
through
over.
Email. You never
John
saw their
fought,
eyes.
Fought the power.
That said, like, guys, could we please call it Brewing with Style? No. Okay.
No.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean anything by it.
Go away.
So, you know,
you're still our publisher, right?
They insist that everything be dumbed down to the, you know, second or fourth or grade level or something. So, you can't be
good. I'll be buying two.
Bring with Sam was too confusing.
Yeah.
People wouldn't understand what it was about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they might think you've got to put on a nice pantsuit or something.
Yes.
Like, that's
like most people would assume.
They wouldn't have known about it was about brewing and brewing certain stuff.
Well, look,
make sure your scarf matches your beer.
Yeah. Well, and
Jamil and I are in California. You know, we're too
crazy.
Hip.
Yeah, but regardless, they're the ones who pay for making those books. So whatever they want to put on it, that's
whatever they want.
You're just a vessel.
They're the ones taking the big risk.
It did sound a little uppity. Brewing with style, like it's a wine book or something.
That's us. We're uppity.
See,
if anybody saw John and I sitting together, they'd think uppity.
Yeah.
Doc's like the man.
He shouldn't have wore
suits. Not like in a good way, but like the man.
Costello,
he's like
Lauren
no, that's
Hardy,
he's like on the same Jamil page with them. No, that's a little uppity, guys. You need to settle down.
No, we're gonna sell this book, boys. Let us do the work.
Write, bitch.
But you see, you know, John was like, "Hey, I could use a little help." You know, I'm like, "Hey, I'd love to help, and however I can, maybe a couple of recipes."
And now you're writing it?
Well, no.
Now John vacationed to the Bahamas.
John hasn't even sent a paragraph to Jamil.
No, John's been working very hard on this to make it all
behind
happen.
The scenes.
But it became, you know, from like a half dozen recipes to, you know, every BJCP style. And
oh, really?
Well, he had them.
So it's 80 something. Yeah, well, and I agreed. I think that's a good idea. If you're going to make a recipe book, you know, the problem with most recipe books is it's like you don't find the beer in them that you really want to make.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a pale ale and it's got a stout, but it's like, hey, I want to make this odd beer, you know, that I've heard about. How do I do it?
Yeah.
I think
John's...
We decided, you know, every recipe. Yeah,
I think John's new hobby has suddenly become how to engineer a Jamil book.
I mean, it did grow, though. I mean, from how to brew with extract to, you know, Jamil and I, we really should brew or talk, right? There we go. Got to find a verb. Danielle, help me.
She'll be able to help
you. This is why I'm having to pick up the writing mode here.
Yeah, we really need to write a BJCP style book. I mean, you know, there are so many different styles and...
And the books out there kind of suck.
Well, they do, or at least they're narrow in scope.
Not John, Doc.
Yeah, but they're very thick books, and there's
Well,
you gotta dumb it down.
But we wanted to have one where you could say, okay, what's the difference between the 60 and the 70, and what's the difference between an American pale ale and a British pale ale? I mean, get them all into one book, and you know, for you know, guys that are like us that have been brewing for a long time, we know these differences. We've read about them. We've judged them. But, you know, how to get some of this knowledge into a book that can really benefit the semi-new brewer.
These people that want to enter the first contest, what do I put my beer into?
Yeah, that's
like what
that's,
style.
And they'll read the BJCP guidelines, and, you know, they still get confused.
Yeah, we're hoping to give them a little more clues to that and tips for brewing the styles and all the recipes. And
there's a lot of extract brewers out there who feel that extract is kind of, they plateau at it, where they don't really can't move any farther.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. They need that kind of epiphany where, hey, you can do super good beer, and this is how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And these are the different recipes that you can do. You're not just stuck with a pale, a stout, a porter, and a blah, blah, blah. You can actually do some beers that you've probably never even heard of.
And I'm glad you say that, because that's actually what I appreciate about this book. I think that people too often just talk about extract as that's what you do when you start.
A stepping stone. Mm-hmm.
But then us advanced brewers, we don't do that anymore. We don't do extract. Right. We do all grain. And all the books really mostly cover all grain. And granted, there's more to cover because there's more in the process, so maybe the books should be larger about that. But I think it does extract brewing a disservice, especially when you talk about, John, how far extract has come.
It really has.
And the quality of extract that we can get. I don't think it's fair to tell people that they're not advanced brewers if they're still on extract, because they're really, there are advanced recipes, there are advanced techniques, and you can make great beer, you know, doing it. So I like even that you're paying homage to extract brewing.
No, I've been, these last few years, I've been doing a lot of extract brews myself. I mean, there's good extract available. You got to know how to work with it. I mean, it's like anything. You got to know how to work with that ingredient. You know, if it's this form versus that form, you've got to know, understand what that means.
Yeah.
And in extract, you got to pay attention to your oxidation. You got to pay attention to gravity. You've got, you know, for so long, the paradigm for extract brewing was take, you know, umpteen pounds of extract, put it into a 2-gallon pot and boil the hell out of it on a stove.
Yeah.
And then dilute it in the fermenter.
Right.
Doing so generates lots of your Maillard reactions. I mean, you get lots of those browning reactions, lots of different flavors develop from, you know, those reactions. And people end up with extract twang, and they say, oh, yeah, you can't brew a good beer with extract. No, that's wrong. You boil that beer, you brew that beer at a normal gravity, you know, 1040 to 1060, 1070. You're going to get a normal beer. It's when you do a concentrated boil with extract, and, you know, other factors too, but those concentrated boils generate those flavors that are tend to be characteristic of extract brewing.
Yeah.
Because that's the way everybody's told to do it. And that's the way I told everybody to do it when I first wrote about it.
Okay.
Now I know better.
And I would say it's the same, you know, with all grain brewing. There are ways to do it right, and there are ways to do it wrong.
Yeah.
And the same, you know, with extract. Well, let me ask this now, because you're talking about all these recipes, and there's a recipe for every style. Is it just a recipe book, or is there instruction about how to do, you know, good extract beers?
Well, here's where John comes in.
Okay.
I give you the recipes and pretty much throw you over the cliff. And John is going to delve into some of the flavor aspects and stuff like that. And if you really want to know how to brew well, there's a book called How to Brew. You might want to pick that one up.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's
get a copy.
It's written by a guy named Rock Candy.
Rock Candy.
hot and sticky.
Hard, sweet, and sticky. And get yourself a copy of this book, put the two together, and I think...
Then you have two books glued together. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly. A stupid idea.
Yeah. No, I mean, now my part of the book is a couple of intro chapters saying this is malt, this is hops, this is yeast.
Okay.
And some appendices on... you know, how to do steeping grains, how to do a mini mash, gravity calculation. I mean, you know, just some of the nuts and bolts that, so we can, you know, go to one of Jamil's recipes and, you know, you can understand how to either adapt that recipe to a different technique, you know, pot on the stove technique, or, you know, just if he says for a classic American Pilsner, you got to use, you know, flake corn, do a mini mash.
Yeah.
I'm going to have an appendix on how to do a mini mash.
Oh, great.
You know, just the nuts and bolts. I mean, there's some things that, like water, that is going to go. We're going to flat refer you back to How to Brew.
Okay.
Because we don't have the room and it's not on topic.
Makes sense.
Well, and those people who already, you know, understand a lot of that. You know, they can just look at the recipes. And for each recipe, there's brewing tips, how to understand the style, how to focus on the style.
Yeah.
You know, the various tricks that are really important.
And that's what I needed Jamil for. I needed someone that, you know, could put together a recipe that had, you know, some of the nuances of the ingredients, that had the tips on, you know, saying, you know, to really target this style.
Yeah.
You want to use this ingredient. You want to use only this much of the ingredient. I mean, that kind of knowledge I don't have, and that's why I needed Jamil.
That and he'll massage your feet at the end of the day.
That's right. Anything for Rock Candy. But, you know, and that's what I was thinking, you know, about other recipe books that I've looked through, is that, you know, they list a recipe and they may say something about the style, but they don't really give you a lot of tips about, you know, what makes the style and what's important about the recipe. Every beer, when you're brewing it, there's something you need to focus on. There's some aspect of the beer that's really important.
You said
unless you know, somebody explains what that is, you're really lost. The recipe is good, but it doesn't fill you in on really the details of where to focus on. And that's one thing I think I really hope we capture in this.
I listen to every Jamil show.
Do you?
Yeah.
Just for the book? Just to be
for
nice?
For the laughs.
For the fun and laughs.
I want to hear what John Plessé has to say about his style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't? No, I mean, well, you and his mom.
Stop. Leave John Plessé out of this. He's a great co-host.
He is. No, I really listen to all the shows, and every time I, you know, get, you know, those little nuggets of, you know, what helps make this style,
because
I brew the beer that I like to drink. I brew porters, I brew Viennas, I pale ales, wheat beers. But you know, I'm curious about other styles and don't always brew them. But it, so it's nice to brew vicariously through Jamil.
Yeah,
and get some of these tips and see the pieces come together. You know, I'm a big picture guy. I like it's neat to be able to see all these pieces interlock on what makes a style. And so I listen to the Jamil show every time.
See, I'm starting to think that Jamil's all bullshit because he hasn't brought us a homebrew in months and months. In fact, I don't think you've brought us a homebrew since like your second appearance.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad batch in a while, so bring.
You're drinking it all at home, huh?
No, I have a couple of kegs that I was planning on throwing out. I'll bring them to
then
you.
You'll bring them.
You know, I was thinking about that on my way over. Jamil will be there. He hasn't thrown down lately.
He has not brought us homebrew, and I can't even remember how long.
It was his second appearance here.
I think that his homebrewing has gone downhill.
I brought some homebrew at the second Dan Gordon showing.
That was a year ago.
Okay. If I wasn't busy with this Monday show,
did you forget the combination on the cold box?
Yeah, exactly. It's,
what do you think? We just like your company.
You know, one of the things is Ross and I were talking about how the vast majority of brewers out there have not brewed every style. It's literally a handful of people that have brewed every style.
Yeah. I'm guilty.
And, most people focus on certain styles and they ignore all the rest. And, an opportunity to try different styles, really a great thing. You want to brew as many as you can. Even if you think you're not going to like it, that's a Schwarz beer. I was thinking, I'm not going to like Schwarz beer, but it's on the list. I got to brew it.
Yeah.
Turned out it is absolutely one of my favorites.
Don't change the subject, by the way.
And I don't think that it's not for everybody to brew a whole bunch of styles. Some people even only start brewing because they want a better pale ale. Like, that might be the only reason they start brewing beers, because they want to make a better pale ale.
That's cool.
And so, but I think you're right about discovery. Like, just being able to find something new.
Try something new.
So,
like Justin.
In terms of... It's like, listen to Lunch Me. That's something new.
See, there you go. Hey, you know what?
There's nothing new on Lunch Me.
That's the first advertisement you've ever put out for Lunch Me.
I didn't mean it. It was stupid.
Wow. Circle this day.
So what I want to know, too, then, is, and I think this is a great segue, because you're starting to talk about how good Jamil is at doing these recipes and for every style,
mm-hmm.
is I want to start talking about doing extract recipes, because as you said earlier too, John, it no longer is it that you just go buy a can of this or a can of that and brew the beer. There are different things involved. So with the new book, you got a recipe for every style. You might have something that you have to use flaked corn in, things like this. Jay-Z, what are some basics about figuring out how to build an extract recipe?
He said penis.
I did.
In his head,
I think like Doc's just like, I definitely heard penis.
Yeah. What are the basics of?
Well, here's, I guess, what I mean. We don't always have to use steeping grains. We don't always use light extract. In fact, I was reading Ray Daniels' book the other day, and I was reading the part about extract.
Uh-huh.
And that book, which was written is a little while ago, and I think that extract has even come a little farther.
1942?
Yeah, it's a little while ago. I think extract's come even a little further since then.
Right.
But one of his key recommendations, and it's not across the board, but he kind of advocates, you almost always only need light extract. Because the darker ones, he's
generally, I wouldn't use any dark extract.
You wouldn't.
Always start with a base extract. And this is essentially the way that the majority of the styles of the world are brewed.
All grain goes the same
commercial
way.
Commercial brews. They now, you know, a long time ago, maybe they started with a brown malt or something, really dark and smoky. But but now everybody starts with a base of a very pale Pilsner or an English pale or an American two row or some sort of a six row or... there's a very limited base.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start the same way with extract. The other thing is that you want to, pick an extract that mirrors really the country of the beer you're trying to mimic. So if you're trying to do a continental beer of some kind of lager or a lot of the Belgians, then you're going to get a continental Pilsner type of malt that you want to use, some sort of a Pilsner extract. If you're doing an English, beer of some kind, then you're going to use an English pale ale extract. If you're going to use American and make an American style beer, use an American two-row extract or a light extract.
Okay.
So that's, I think that's really key.
And that's kind of across the board, whether you're extract or all grain. You kind of, you should go for the malts of where they come from.
Exactly.
For that style.
You know, like John's saying, there's a lot less difference between extract brewing and all grain brewing nowadays.
Okay.
The quality of the extracts have really gotten very, very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make an excellent beer with extract.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So... And this, I think, from my understanding about using steeping grains is kind of, it's very tied in to using light extract, because light extract might give you the fermentables that you want and the, and that, that body that you need, but it may not give the color of the style of beer that you want. So is, I guess what I'm asking, are you only talking about color when you start making your grain bill for steeping grains in an extract
color
beer?
Color and flavor.
You are flavor as well?
Well, look at any... all grain recipe for any style, 75% base malt, or, you know, just to generalize. Then you have the specialty malts that define the flavors, define the color of that style.
Right.
And then, of course, you got your yeast and your hops. So extract brewing, if you can, you know, use the extract for the base malt component, you know, There's 75% of your brew right there.
Yep.
Now you can steep specialty grains, or maybe you have to do a mini mash for some of the specialty malts that you can't steep because they don't have any they're not converted yet.
Is that in your recipe book too, Jamil, for certain styles where you'll say you kind of have to mini mash to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And there's also all grain equivalents for every recipe as well.
Okay. Cool. Oh, so you got both in there. That's a pretty all-together
book. So all-grain brewers, you know, don't despair.
But I guess what I mean, though, is even with the specialty malts in all-grain, like you're talking about, we're still, in some cases, adding fermentables. In some cases, we're adding dextrins in body. Are we doing that just with steeping grains in extract brews? Are we getting, you know, fermentables or non-fermentables, dextrins?
There's a, let's call it one-third of beer styles that you can effectively brew with extract and steeping grains.
Okay.
There's another third that you can effectively brew extract only.
Okay.
There's another third that you can only do by all grain. Just, you know, arm waving.
Oh, is the other third also you could do extract and mini mash, or is it only you can only do all
grain? Right.
Okay.
Yes.
You could do mini
all
mash,
grain or by doing extract and mini mash.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Four thirds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thirds.
That was throwing me.
It's the Brewing Network. We can have as many thirds as we want, Doc.
It's their book.
Yeah, that's right. They don't get to title it what they want, but they can write whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want four thirds, John, you go ahead. You've earned it.
That's an appendix,
but
that fourth third.
Because I think writing a good extract recipe, this is why I'm asking about these details, I think writing a good extract recipe, now that extract is kind of a more advanced, it can be as difficult as writing a good all-grain recipe. You know, how do you get those the right amount of steeping grains?
That's true. You know, you've got to understand, you know, where the off flavors in extract brewing come from.
Yeah.
And steer people clear of those.
Yeah.
And as well as, you know, choosing the steeping grain amounts, chewing the mini mash amounts, so that the whole recipe balances.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, let's take this point to take a break. I've got listener questions in front of me, which is going to move us forward. If you have questions still, you can join Daniela in the chat room and pass them along. We took some questions out of the forum. People were posting early in preparation for your visit, John.
So like they're going to be first in line or something.
Yeah, they were getting ready. So we got a lot of questions.
Come in the chat room. Join me. One more week only.
Yeah, Daniela will only be with us next week. So if you haven't ever joined the chat to say hello... type now.
The time is ticking away.
Yeah. Or forever hold your peace. Or at least until she visits again.
You said peace.
What if it, Doc? Like, I just heard ass. I know somebody said ass.
No, that's JP.
I know. I'm just going like throughout the show, it's going to be whatever. All right. John Palmer's with us. Jamil is with us. We're going to keep talking about their new book and how to brew with extract. So get your questions over if you want them answered by the pros. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila.
Tequila.
Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila!
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
Around. What's that sound? The voice of the brewing underground. I rush home. What's with the Abacast stream? Goddamn, it's almost time. Why don't you work? Fucking thing, it's 5:02. I reboot. Asshat iTunes. I hope Justin made the free FM commute. I'm on. Thank God, not a moment too soon. Holy shit, I just got booted out of the chat room. I won't rack, motherfucker, when you do, you're risking O2. I'll hail the fuck Jay-Z. Do like I told you. Do what you say. Well, okay, at least mostly. And hit that fucking whirlpool vigorous. Sometimes I don't, and I won't, bitch. More than a little bitch. Vile of that sweet shit that likes like that. Damn, my yeast will not move, and fucking booth being rude. Boom, that goes the blow off through, and fuck this old chat room. I want out, Justin Chef, that goes my chocolate stout. And I never want to hear the word run high, skip about. I give up, 50G, why don't you push eject me? I'm screaming Gucci when G pushes me off the screen. Jamil, JB, Johnny G, I can't think, but then I hear Doc's little voice in my head screaming, drink, motherfucker, drink, motherfucker, drink. The BN.
Could be going for a silver or a gold.
The BN.
But do I bench more?
The BN
Groove, get unrefined.
The Brewing Network.
Life saved 5 gallons at a time.
The BN.
Could be going for a silver or gold.
The BN.
Don't know to pitch warm or cold.
The BN
Groove, get unrefined.
The Brewing Network.
Life saved 5 gallons at a time.
I need some TBS Bach. What a shock, the Sony's holding his stock. Tick tock, the visa's unlocked. Sean, knock, knock, dock. Can you walk the walk? Pull out an airlock. A cock in his world flock. There's no my box. Into the mash goes a butt crack. Like a true breeder. It's that for pale ale, my man, Boogita. Flew for you beer nerds. That's Travis, you just heard. The only man I know whose name is a cuss word. Come hang with Jay's. I'm a jest and haggard, eh? And no one understands a word Daniela says. Either biscuit, the pit bull, or code right info. We'll sniff your crack if you got the Jane hat. Do line Excel, where's my hat? Go dip pound mat, bed trans in a low fat. And lunch meet some grass ass. And what about Grouch Rock? He's more than just down the block. And then there's homegrown hops. He's missing just like us.
Yo, I don't know, I can't see. But then I hear Doc's little voice in my ear screaming, who's gonna be out in the desert with me?
The BN.
Could be going for a silver or gold.
The BN.
But do I bench warm or cold?
The BN.
Groove, get unrefined.
The Brewing Network.
I see.
The BN.
Could be going for a silver or gold.
The BN.
Don't know to pitch warm or cold.
The BN.
Groove, yet unrefined.
The Brewing Network.
Life saved 5 gallons at a time.
Drink the drink, motherfucker, drink, motherfucker.
I could have mixed it with chocolate and vagina. It still wouldn't help.
Drink!
Keeping the ass out of Brewcast.
This is the Brewing Network.
it's insane around here. So.
Sure is.
People everywhere. I can't even get them back in the studio to do a show. They don't care about you folks at home. They're there partying.
Yeah. But and, I'll bet you money as soon as that book hits the shelves.
Then they care
They're
about
you. They're your best friends.
Please buy the book.
What I'd like to know, are we going to carry this book in our store over there?
In the Brewing
You're
Network
gonna store?
You're
going to carry it in your pants, man. You're going to carry it
I don't
everywhere
wear pants.
You go. Yeah.
The thing is, because they have big-time publishers, I don't think we're allowed to, Doc. I mean, we may get like a promotional copy if we're lucky, but I don't think we're allowed to carry it
I think
in there.
Anyone can sell it.
Yeah?
Yes.
And get a do
sell
I get
it, baby.
Do
sell
I get
it.
A percentage if I sell some of this stuff?
I think you'll have to charge more than retail, but hey, yeah.
See, I don't want to do that.
You
jacked.
Know what?
No,
maybe we can sell some autographed copies.
I think we might be able to work something out here.
I think we should.
If they're autographed copies, we could sell them as used copies.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have to discount them if we sign
I'll bet you that the BN sells more copies than, say, other brewing websites out there.
You might
for example, which could mean that like we sell five as opposed to four for somebody else. No, that's not true at all. Our listeners respond, so
they do.
They're
strong.
It
the
might take
BN
a couple
Army.
Weeks, but you know,
the BN Army.
The big question out there among the BN Army is when does the book come out? Everybody wants. So we're talking about this book, and you guys,
fall,
you're still
fall.
Writing, right?
Yeah,
fall 2007.
Yeah,
so fall of this year, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you believe that, JP?
Unless we get drunk and don't finish it. And then God knows when it's going to come out.
I love that. That's a great thing about this industry. Yeah. It's a pretty legitimate excuse. Like, all the listeners out there would go, oh, yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a problem.
I just see the response being, oh, ho-hum.
Yeah. Yeah. They were drunk. No big deal.
Oh, those guys. They're crazy.
Those
when do you think it'd be out?
Yeah, big whoop. Yeah.
All right, so fall. How far done would you say you are? If you could put a percent on the completed project.
I mean, pen to paper, or are we just talking ideas?
Yeah.
50.
We're actually 97% incomplete.
That's very close to not
concept
even started.
Is solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much just the title.
We got the title
out.
Down.
Yeah.
I think that me, Doc, and JP are going to do our best to like cause a rift between you two so that we can like, get a, like not so the book doesn't get done, but just for our own pleasure.
Yeah.
Like for instance, Jamil's been talking shit about you, John. Oh, he's like, I try to call all the time, and John just wants to talk about other things.
Not,
and,
you
I'm
just
not even
can't,
making sense.
You can't even do this between me and Rock Candy, man.
You guys,
and then John's been saying, Jamil, John's been saying, yeah, what is this recipe for a pale ale? This crap.
Yeah, he's like,
what is that?
Pale ale, maybe pale piss.
Yeah. 2 ounces of what? What the fuck? Get out of here with this!
I hear there won't be a second book.
Yeah. The Brewing Network is like the Yoko of the Dream
Mars.
Team here.
The Dream Team.
Somehow I think this is backfiring on us, John.
Yeah. Hey, John, welcome to the studio.
They're
glad you bought
jealous.
That flight to come up here.
Yeah.
We are jealous because Jamil never made up a name like Rock Candy for us.
Yeah.
You know,
if you were hard, sweet, and sticky, I would.
By the way,
I'm still around. I don't want to hear that stuff.
Danielle is getting real sad, too. Everyone's being real nice to her in the chat room today, and now she's all bummed. Don't make her cry today. We got one more week to make her
make
cry.
Make her cry tomorrow. Yeah.
We got next week to do that.
You sound awfully happy, though.
I'm like, yeah.
That's going to be good radio to hear you cry on the air, man.
Yeah, Danielle's going to cry.
Yeah, if you could just take a microphone in the bedroom, he'd have her cry
Justin's
all the time.
Cry.
Yeah, that's usually me crying. I'm sorry, that's the first time that's happened tonight.
But Justin, this is the fifth time since we've been together for 3 American years.
Which are different than 3 German years.
Yeah. Because 3 German years are much more fulfilling, apparently.
I think you've already found your replacement for Daniela. You got JP.
I had thought about it, but I was like, I don't know. I don't think the chat room wants to deal with JP any more than we do.
JP would probably the person I would be really honored if he would take my spot.
Great. Strap a rack on him and put him over there.
Yeah. I thought about JP. He's a queen, so that's good.
Yeah.
He knows.
I don't know whether or not to be honored or not. Okay.
Yeah, let's
start
try
smoking
this
more
out.
Dope
put
and,
something
and
in your shirt
boobs.
So you can get some boobs. And then maybe
he has man boobs.
You need like a wig or something. You know. Let's try this.
I'll talk to Britney Spears.
See if you
I think
can
Justin's already thought about this quite a bit.
No, seriously. It would be great. I would love that. And you love JP just as much as you love me, so that's good.
Probably more.
Probably even more.
In many different ways.
A guy tries to be nice. gives a massage or two, all of a sudden I got a new...
Look, just because I'm not frigid, okay?
All right, it's turning ugly in here. Let me get to some questions that we have for you guys.
We had some brewing information, didn't we?
We do. John Palmer's with us today. Flew all the way up from, like, Nebraska, wherever he lives.
What a waste that was.
All the way up from Nebraska.
Pasadena. And so you can join us in the chat room and send your questions that way. Or 888-401-BEER is the phone number. And make sure the phone's working for you guys there, because I think I had it unplugged earlier. Okay, first question for you. Now, this is a common question, but a good one, and everyone always wants to know, are there ways to reduce and eliminate, we covered this a bit, extract twang, knowing that we use, if we use the freshest extract that we can find, I guess he's wondering, how are we still getting extract?
You'll read about that in the book.
Next. That's how every question's going to be tonight. Buy the book.
Yeah, there is.
Several.
The best way to reduce extract, well, extract twang is several different things to different people.
JP looks hot. He's got his man boobs.
Oh, wow. That is some boobs.
Pretty good, huh?
Okay. Make me lose my train of thought.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Never again.
Go ahead.
Torpedo tits over there.
Several ways.
Extract twang is different things to different people. To me, it's the hot alcohols. It's the sweet flavors.
It's almost brown sugary kind of sweetness.
Yeah, there's different aspects to it. Brown sugar, extra sweet,
and the hot alcohol is a good way to put it there. When
there's also ink, ball pen ink flavor that you can get, mm-hmm. Aroma you get. A lot of these flavors are Maillard reactions, from the concentrated boil.
Yeah,
it's not caramelization. Caramelization really doesn't happen. I mean, technically doesn't happen in brewing. What you have in Maillard reactions, which occur at much lower temperatures and, much higher moisture contents than caramelization really requires.
Okay.
True caramelization requires, temperatures like 300 degrees F. And
except for fructose.
Except for fructose, which is like 260.
230 or...
230, yeah,
235,
right.
235, something.
And, but very low moisture content, too. And Maillard reactions can generate a lot of different flavors other than caramel.
Okay.
It's where you do get some molasses type flavors, but you also get ink or ballpoint pen aroma.
That's not good.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Olive and I don't know. Just a whole slew of different weird flavors.
It shouldn't be in beer.
Okay.
Right. And,
or at least not a clean beer that you could maybe get some other way.
That's right. So if you change your extract brewing program to brew at normal gravities, I mean traditional, 1035 to 1060 kind of gravities, normal gravities.
Yeah,
you'll avoid a lot of those reactions.
So are you talking about that we have to do a full boil? Not a partial boil?
That's a big step to do.
If you do a full boil, you got to have the propane burner, really. I mean, it's hard to get a full boil going on a kitchen stove.
But is that what you mean when you say we have to do these regular gravities? Because doing a partial boil, you have to do a higher gravity and then water it down. So I'm just trying to...
You can do a small boil,
twice.
But only put in half your extract up front. Make a 1040 gravity with half your extract. Put in your hops, boil your hops through their normal regimen, 60, 30, 15, or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And then the last 10 minutes of that boil, add the rest of your extract so it can pasteurize, and then dilute in the fermenter.
That's what they call the extract late method.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah. I've been using that the last couple of years, and it really works.
Okay.
It really avoids those extract twang flavors.
It does. Okay.
Now, other extract twang flavors that people talk about are really just off flavors from extract brewing can be old extract flavors that, from oxidation of phenols and polyphenols and tannins.
Can you tell that by either looking at or smelling the extract before you buy it, or is it kind of a luck of the draw thing?
With experience and, side by side, yeah.
Okay.
You can. But
so if you always buy the same light extract, and if one time maybe it's darker,
smells a little
or stinkier,
funky or exactly.
And, okay.
You want to deal with places that are, pumping the extract through.
Yeah, high turnover.
You go with a place like, not that you have to buy from them, but, More Beer or Northern Brewer or any of those places that are really got a high volume going,
You know, you're getting extract that's been, you know, it's only a few days old at most of the time.
Oh, cool.
It's really just going through real fast.
Just doing the light extract, they're probably pumping through that a lot faster than the darker extract,
right.
too.
Right.
Okay. Because I had read, too, that you really, I mean, sometimes you can really tell by the color. I mean, the light extract.
Well, yeah.
Should,
if you pick up a pail of, you know, pale malt extract and you open it up or, you know, without the owner looking, and see that it's, you know, dark amber.
Yeah.
Or really, you know, or just it's not pale. That's an indication it's old.
A reaction has occurred to cause that.
Those are low temperature Maillard reactions. I mean, if you store liquid malt extract at 90 degrees, it's going to darken over a couple of weeks, and it'll darken substantially.
Yeah.
And you will get some of those favorite flavors that can be carried into your final beer.
Okay.
And things will oxidize as well. And this is one of the reasons Bob Hansen of Breese, who knows a lot about malt extract, he really recommends going with dried malt extract because it's a lot more shelf-stable. It won't darken and age as quickly.
If you can't get it fresh, get it dry.
Yeah. And you know what? In Ray's book, he says the same thing. He really, with few exceptions, recommends the dried malt extract, too, because of the less reactions happening, and it just tends to be a more stable way to create extract.
Yeah.
You know?
Get fresh liquid malt extract. Or if you can't get fresh liquid, get dry.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. So that's going to help us get rid of some of the twang.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to back up just real quick and clarify. When you guys say do the late addition of the extract, you did say, John, put some in the beginning and then the rest at the end. And so you can't just like boil your hops in water. You need it to react with those sugars, right?
Well, not so much reacting with the sugars, but to get technical, you talk about the isomerization. Well, if you're going to boil in water, we don't know what the utilization rate of hops in plain water is.
Okay.
I mean, not that we really know what it is in normal wort brewing, and we're approximating it. But going to the hop utilization formulas out on the web, Rager, Tinseth, you know, Garrett's, etc.
Yeah.
If you talk about boiling in a 1040 wort, they've got a number for it, and you can put that number in, so you get a good prediction of what your IBUs are going to be.
Okay.
If you boil it in plain water, now you've got to take into account pH. You know, the pH of that water is going to be upwards of 6, 7, 8. You know.
Okay.
And so you're going to get more polyphenols out of the hop cones than you would if you boiled it inwort in a more acidic environment. You know, in the normal traditional brewing wort setting.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get more tannins in your wort. Maybe, you know, and then there's papers that talk about 70% of hop polyphenols being dropped out during fermentation versus husk polyphenols.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I think boiling in a normal gravity wort is going to be a higher quality beer than boiling in water.
Okay. So a portion there just to keep it that way. And do your recipes reflect that, Jamil? Because I know that you haven't always done this either. It's kind of a recent thing too, right? You didn't always do a late extract. So did you adjust all your recipes like that?
Well, and in the book you're going to have, you know, the option to do, you know, whatever method you have. So either a full wort boil or, you know, go in the extract late or, you know, what have you.
You do both. Okay. Another question that came through. Oh, in fact, speaking of the late wort addition, somebody had asked also if you should do the late wort with a full boil, too. So not just
you can
the
you can do it either way.
I mean, and it's still the same principle.
Yeah, if it's a a lower gravity beer, you wouldn't necessarily do that. If you're doing something high gravity, like a barley wine, something like that, there are some advantages to doing that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Is it Maillard? Maillard? We should let Daniela pronounce it. However she says it is
exactly.
How
yeah.
Maillard.
Maillard.
There
okay,
we go. There we go.
The definitive answer has been given
with a T at the end.
Yeah, a French word.
Maillard.
A French word pronounced by a German. Yes.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
we go.
Oh, it's
exactly.
French. Maillard.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the language, Jamil. That you got to get the principle down here.
Maillard. I'm going with it.
You can always call me for that, by the way.
Maillard.
If it's French,
just call me.
They're all silent.
Yeah. Okay. They want to know, aren't Maillard reactions wanted for certain styles? Is the question. He says, I thought that Tarmis Hardy. He is a hottie, though.
It's Rock Candy.
It's Rock Candy getting at me.
That's such a Freud, what you just did.
You know, Sam is hottie.
Well, yes. I mean, some Maillard reactions are important. You know, it's what makes, you know, bread into toast. It's, you know, and it's very important in certain styles.
In every style, right?
It's important to some level. But if you go too far, what you end up with is something that is just, it can be kind of a harsh, some judges look at it as being, they'll describe it as vegetal. It can be very intense and unpleasant. George Fix had a thing in his book, I think, where he says, you know, pretty much anything over 15% evaporation rate tends to produce excessive melanoidins and really becomes unpleasant. And it can make even the lightest beer taste like a bock.
Yeah.
And they're not even all sure what goes on with all the Maillard reactions from low range to high range.
Yeah, I mean, you can get any amine pairing with any sugar. I mean, it's a lot of complex chemistry going on. But, you know, time, temperature, viscosity, and moisture content are your controlling factors. So, you know, your brew makes the difference. The way you're doing it will drive, you know, the flavor profile I get.
I think the most important question of the day that's come through is for Daniela. It says, Daniela, will you have a baby with John Palmer so you can produce a super homebrewer race? This actually came through in the chat.
I think it would be better if Jamil had a baby with John.
Yeah, that would be the actual super
homebrewer. That's probably already happened, though.
Yeah. Dr. Scott has to work on how that could happen.
And then it would be Rock Baby.
Rock Baby, baby.
Good question, listeners. You guys are clever out there. I have a lot of random questions because I kind of said, you know, if you've got brew questions, now's the time to ask because these guys could do anything. So I don't have a lot coming through about extract, which doesn't mean we won't keep talking about it, guys. So if you want to keep sending in your questions, do
Here's
so.
Here's another extract.
Is this extract
question?
Before mm-hmm. I move on to the other? Okay. All right. This is a really good question. What is the latest that you can add the extract to a boil if we're talking about adding extract late? How long do we need it in there at a minimum?
This is like how far can the dog walk into the woods?
Is it?
Halfway? Because then he's walking out of the woods.
This guy's a genius. I mean, that is so over
the
my
dog
head
or
that...
you add the extract at the end of the boil.
But don't you have to boil it for a certain amount of time so it's sterilized?
Oh, well, I guess...
Well, it's never quite sterilized.
Sorry, so well, it's sanitized?
Actually, in essence, it's pretty concentrated, so there's not a lot living in there anyway. When something's that concentrated of a sugar situation.
10 minutes at 160 or...
Yeah. If your extract's kind of getting watery and moldy on the top, then you might want to boil it longer.
Just skim it.
What about any sort of...
I mean, it only takes 2 minutes to get extract into, like, to be into this. Is that fine? Can I stop then after 2 minutes?
Most people can't cool it that fast either.
Yeah, but I think pasteurization is defined as like 160, 180 for 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know, so use that as a general rule.
So you can put it in, turn the flame off. By the time you get it down to 160, it's going to be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
what about any sort of...
Unless you're doing a whirlpool chiller.
Yes, that's
you know,
but who,
an extra 5
who has the money for that? But what about any sort of like protein break? You know, like if you're adding your extract,
they should have already done all that anyway.
These extracts are boiled. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
They made the wort, then they dehydrated it.
There is no like hot break.
Right.
In extract.
There are extracts that are not not as much, and there's some that are a little bit more, and maybe.
Yeah,
some that aren't boiled nearly as much as you would boil a regular wort.
Yeah, I had the good fortune to go and tour Brees, their malt extract plant a couple years ago, and
family vacation.
No, I got to do it by myself, thank goodness. But in the dead of winter, I went there and visited, and Bob Hansen explained how you have food grade malt extract and brewing grade malt extract. Brewing grade is boiled until they achieve hot break because they don't want all that protein going in and gumming up the evaporators. Mm. So once they go through the hot break stage, then they send it to the whirlpool to clarify it, and then they send it to the evaporators, and where they, you know, run it down and dehydrate it down to 80% solids, or, you know, the thick syrup that we know and love. And as it's doing that, they're doing it under partial pressure. So you're getting a lot of the volatilization that gets the DMS out of it, and they've done the hot break. Now, people say, well, when I do an extract boil, I get hot break. Well, very often you're doing a concentrated extract boil. And if you think about it in terms of, you know, solution mechanics and saturation.
Often we do.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say.
We're not amateurs over here, okay? We know what we're doing.
Okay, I shouldn't have prefaced that.
Yeah.
And
I'm insulted.
So, you know, the more concentrated you make the protein in the boil, I mean, you reach a concentration, some of that's going to precipitate out. It's going to coagulate and precipitate out. So for normal wort boils, If you take that extract and do a normal wort boil with it, you're probably not going to see very much of a protein break because it's already happened.
Yeah.
But if you do a concentrated extract boil, you're concentrating those proteins, and a certain percentage of them are going to coagulate and settle out. And one criticism that you'll read about extract brewing is that they don't seem to have the head retention of an all-grain beer.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is because if they're doing that concentrated wort boil, they will precipitate out more of the protein and thereby a greater fraction of the head retention proteins.
He said head.
I'm pretty sure that John just came all the way up here to make me feel stupid.
No, not at all.
It was
strictly secondary, Justin.
Yeah, that was only,
that's a bonus.
There's a silver lining in everything.
Yeah, that was plan B.
I think he came up because his new headphones don't work.
somebody wanted to know what you think, John, about going back to extract if all grain isn't going so well. Like, is it a good idea to go back? I wonder if that was someone. Did I ask that question or somebody else? They want to. Do you think that's a good idea, or maybe should they keep pressing on in the all grain? You know,
join a homebrew club and have them help you with your all grain process. You know, I mean, in other words, I guess my first thought really is don't give up on all grain.
Yeah.
But extract should not be viewed as, you know,
A step back.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I brew extract because I need the time.
I do it too. Once in a while, if I'm brewing off-site or if I need to brew something quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of time to either prepare or to do a whole all grain all day thing.
Yeah,
well, I'll still do it.
I think one of the things to do is, you know, brew some extract batches, keep brewing extract to, you know, provide yourself the beer that you want to drink, and so you're not panicking about beer, and then mix in an all grain batch as you can, you know, enjoy some of your beer, you know, try and improve your process, learn what's been going wrong, and eventually come to appreciate the all grain side of it too. There are some advantages to all grain.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's worth the cost and the effort, hard to say, but you know, don't give up on either one. You know, both are good tools in your arsenal.
And also, if you're a pretty good extractor brewer, then you move up to all grain. You've already come heads above what you used to be. If you go back to extract, you're not going to go back doing stupid things again. You're going to do all the good things you've learned all the way through extract, all the way through all grain. So when you do an extract brew now, going back from all grain, you're going to do something really nice.
Especially after you've read Brewing Extract Creatively with Rock Candy and Jameel.
Yeah.
And Rock by Candy the way, and Jay.
If every all grain brewer who had a little trouble with their all grain quit and went back to extract, there really wouldn't be a lot of all grain brewers left out there, right?
You know, I thought they asked the question for you.
Yeah.
If that happened, Jay, you'd probably be the best all grain brewer.
Exactly. It's very true.
Because we showed him how a lot of times.
It's a show of not just bittersweetness, but also of firsts, apparently, because Bub's on the line, and he says he has a legitimate question.
Uh-oh.
No. Yeah.
Does this warrant a timer?
Yeah. That's, Bub, you really have a legitimate question?
I have a legitimate question.
All right.
It's been asked on the forums in the last week, and nobody there is intelligent enough to answer it correctly. No surprise there.
Yeah. Thank you. Did someone start the timer, by the way?
You shouldn't need a timer.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
I still like it.
Here's the deal. Alpha acids in hops cause the bittering, allegedly, or whatever, right?
Allegedly?
But
well, that's what we all believe.
Alpha acids in hops cause bittering in beer, right?
Yeah. Right,
like
yes.
I'm saying here, this isn't like new science or anything.
Okay.
It's like new math.
But acids normally cause a sour taste. How does acids in hops cause a bitter taste? Or are they not really acids, and that's just what some mope called them, and we just continue the name, or what's going on?
It's the whole thing about calling acids acids. There's a lot of different kinds of acids, and it has to do with what kind of group is hooked onto the end, and that makes it that we could call it an acid.
Yeah, I think really the question's kind of backwards, in that your premise is that acids should taste a certain way. When actually acids can have many different flavors, and only one small subset, you know, are we really familiar with, like, you know, vinegar, etc.
Vinegar's an acid.
Yeah.
It's not bitter. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, so.
What about acid? What kind of flavor does that cause, Doc?
Purple.
Oh, yeah.
Cause it's purple.
Everything's all purple and shit, dude.
So it's not it's not that they're mislabeled, then. It's just that there's different kind of acids. Some will be bitter,
right.
Some will be sour.
Yeah.
So it's not the free hydrogen theory of activation of the taste buds or whatever.
No, I wouldn't say so. My limited knowledge, but yeah, isomerized alpha acids are bitter because they are.
It's the other part of the whole molecule group that's causing that one, not the free H-ion.
And by the way, if John Palmer says it's bitter because it's bitter, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm like that is God. Good.
Yeah, like I'm going, oh, shit, okay.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a whole semester in chemistry right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a shut up and just, it is.
Well,
I'm
not worthy of answering that question definitively.
Thanks for the question, Bub.
All right, bye.
Right on, brother. The great Bub. Go to bubweb.com if you need yourself a cheap website. He's a good dude.
Bub is funny.
Yeah, that was
he
a good
says,
question.
Oh, I'm really bummed you're leaving. And I said, okay. And he says, well, it's just not going to be the same without the female touch. And I say, Bub, we might have another female. Oh.
Bub is like, out of here. And he's like,
Justin's
oh,
Justin's
really?
Getting the surgery. Yeah. You betcha.
Be sure to tell her that I don't wear pants and I call in from the bathroom. She'll be impressed.
I told you, Bub, we're holding auditions at the local strip club, so you'll be satisfied. Man, don't
Excuse
worry.
Me?
It might take us weeks and weeks to come up with a winner.
Of rigorous training
well,
and
but it's
supervision.
Because we need a quality person. We're just
exactly.
looking out for the listeners,
yes.
Doc.
Justin.
So, yeah?
No.
Oh, you're still here? Sorry.
Many, many lap dances.
Isn't it the fifth?
Someone wanted to know about making your own extract. And I don't know why you would, but they asked the question, and I'm passing it along. Is there a way that we can...
Don't so you can brew later?
Is that it? You make... You
spend 8 hours and brew later?
Not you, Justin.
You could pull a vacuum on that brew kettle, and you could make...
Suck
you
out
could,
the water.
I get this visual of Justin bent over a carboy...
pulling a vacuum.
I bet you do, Rock Candy.
You could, you're making extract just by boiling, whatever your all green word is, and you boil, and you'll end up with a syrup.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's going to be too dark, and it's just not going to be right for brewing later on. So what you need to do is do it under heated under vacuum, so it'll boil at 140 or whatever they're doing.
Okay,
so
you need
to
but. You know, I really wouldn't bother because, the extract producers like Brees, Alexander's are making really top-notch brewing extract.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to do something other than just
You'd
buy
You'd be brewing twice.
Basically. I've got a question for our B3 representatives here.
Well, hang on, just before we, because even with that comment, though, Jay-Z, sometimes we'll talk about a certain part of the process that somebody else does better. And like Doc's answer is, well, we do it because we can. You know, that's the only reason. So while you're right, the extract, go buy extract because it's really good. Is it possible if somebody just wants to do it because they can do it themselves? Is it
sure.
even possible?
Yeah, if you want to do it yourself, sure, why not?
But you have to do it under vacuum and all that.
Yeah, you're not going
to
do it better than Breezer.
If you want to do it as well as them, it's going to take a lot of effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
And even Vireman is making malt extracts as well.
So those
good
are nice. Those are nice
German
extracts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, very good.
He said Vireman.
Docs. He said. I heard him.
He said
something. Go ahead, John Palmer. You had a question. There.
Well, I think one of the real drawbacks to extract, even today, is that a lot of extract producers make their extract to have a high finishing gravity, because there's still, at least I think there's still a perception at these malt extract producers level where they expect that extract to be diluted with table sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll brew the extract to have a high dextrin content. And
good
so
point.
Those yeah. I've done forced fermentations with extract, and you'll start out with, you know, say a 10.45 or even 10.50, I think that's what I did. You know, fairly typical homebrewed beer gravity, 10.50, and that will finish even, you know, 1 gallon with a whole packet of dried yeast will finish at 10.20. So, you know, a lot of times you don't get the nice, the good, crisp finishing gravity out of extracts because of the way they're made. And okay. So that's one.
Well, Jamil says a lot that different kinds of extract ferment down differently.
Right, that's very true. And that's when I've talked to Brees, when I've talked to Alexanders, that's one.
That might be a nice appendix for your book, is which ones do attenuate down better than other ones. Brand by brand.
Yeah.
Ray Daniels talks about that in his book too, about the different extracts and how some of them, you know, are diluted with different things, and some of them have more dextrins that aren't going to go away and things like that, so that you might not always be as consistent when you're brewing with extract in terms of your numbers, like your finishing gravity, as you would be if you did all the malt yourself.
I think that's one thing that, you know, independent contractors of extract like B3 and others can really help us with these days, is, you know, we're trying to brew an all extract beer, but we want that beer to turn out just like the all grain version. So, you know, brew that extract to finish like an all grain beer would, you know, with a 10.10 gravity or 10.12 rather than 10.20.
Right. Okay, people want to break soon. I'm going to throw a couple more questions at you before we do it, though, because we're only going to take one more break, and then we're going to wrap everything up. John, what's brewing currently, they want to know? What do you got in the fermenter? Anything?
I think in my fermenter currently, we have various particles of dust and spiders.
Is that right? It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, it has. I moved last summer, and I'm still building the new brewery in the garage. I've got the conical sitting there partially assembled, and several carboys, you know, waiting to be used. My club has a club brew coming up second week of March, and I'm going to use that event to brew two or three batches.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to do a Bock. I'm going to do a cherry double, and I'll probably do an extract wheat also. That's my lawnmower. My daily beer is an extract wheat beer.
Is that right? Wheat.
Yeah,
that's kind of your house daily beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like a nice hop or flavor aroma wheat beer.
What kind of extract do you use for that?
Brees wheat extract.
Just their wheat extract. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone had asked if you guys have an example of extracts that do not finish at high gravities. So I guess ones that will finish down and dry. Do you know specific manufacturer?
Probably one of the best is the Brees, what do they call it, gold? It's their Pilsner one. It's like 80% attenuation on that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Cooper's?
Yeah. Cooper's goes pretty low, right?
Yeah.
And then the Alexander Extra Light, I think, goes pretty dry, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Going to take a break. It's going to be our last break of the show, which means when we come back, we're going to have about 40 minutes or so to wrap up these other questions I have in front of me. Some about alpha acids I have in front of me. I got some chloride and chlorine questions, Doc. That'll give you a stiffy, huh? And I got some questions for you, Captain Metallurgist yourself. John Palmer's also a metallurgist when he says engineer. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. And they want to know about some stainless steel repairs and things like that. I think we're going to take a phone call first, Danielle is telling me. I do want to mention we've got a listener beer we're going to taste. It was sent specifically for Jameel. He very politely put the rest of us in the note saying that we could have it too, Doc. But would would we please save some for Jameel? So we're going to do a listener tasting. And I want to, I've done this before. I think I did it at Downtown Joe's, but I got to do it again because I'm drinking Sean Paxton's beer. This man brews great beer. I really enjoy.
This man knows how to brew.
I really enjoy your beer. And did you hang up on whoever it was, Daniela?
Yes.
No. I thought you wanted to take the call. You want to wait till after the break?
No, it's code, and he was just letting me know that he's working towards Drunk of the Week for me this week.
Oh, good,
and he's
good.
Busy drinking, so he had to go.
Okay, well, he can call back later. But, Sean, I think I'm drinking your Amarillo Pale right now. Is that what I'm drinking?
No. The Centennial.
Okay. The man just brews great beer, so I just wanted to give you props again. Yeah. He's hanging out with us and always brings...
Two nights in a row.
He always shows up with beer, Jameel.
And you know what? And food, usually, too.
Oh, yeah. We have a big slab of meat in the kitchen now.
Yes, we do, which is rare
in this
house.
You get that from Justin, too.
On occasion.
Yeah, right,
rock candy and meat.
That's... there's a whole
rock candy and meat. I mean, drive time Mondays.
Dr. Yeah. Scott, you're being naughty tonight.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
And you don't even want to know what
you're
the show after the show is going
to
be like with rock candy and meat. John Palmer's with us. We're going to wrap up with a bunch of good questions from the listeners, maybe a drunk of the week, and of course we'll have to play Stump the Brewers. So hang in
there. Of course.
Oh, nice.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Whenever life gets you down, keeps you wearing a frown, and the gravy train has left you behind. And when you're all out of hope, down at the end of your rope, and nobody's there to throw you a line. If you ever get so low that you don't know which way to go, come on and take a walk in my shoes. Never worry about a thing, got the world on a string, 'cause I've got the cure for all of my blues.
All of his blues.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start to melt away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and the happy times are coming to stay. I gotta sing and I dance when I glance in my pants. I am the feeling's like a sunshiny day. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Sing along at home, why don't you? 1, 2, 3.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
It's not that hard.
And my troubles start to melt away.
Just Bob and Tom.
I take a look at my enormous penis. And the happy times are coming to stay. Yeah, I got great big amounts in the place where it counts. And the feeling's like a sunshiny day. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
I'm Bob and Tom now.
Everything is going my way.
Hey, look at these goobers.
Everything is going my way.
Hey, Chihuahua.
Everything is going my way.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio. TheBrewingNetwork.com. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Well, you sold me one, you can sell me one more.
I ain't gonna sell you no beer no more.
D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
I told you once, I told you twice, drinking and driving is a bad man's vice.
And a left, left, right, and a right, right, left. Clean my plate.
You can go out for a while, just don't be late.
I'm taking Tanqueray and Darby, set out on a double date.
You can pop them in the Pontiac, but bring back the bait.
D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
Boys will be boys, men will be men. You know what you've done, don't do it again.
I'm gonna do it again. Gonna do it again.
Well, you're on the interstate and you're going slow.
I missed my turn. Which way do I go?
Step out of the car. You're going to jail.
No! D-E-U-I. Too drunk to think about it. Might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
Walk the line. Heel to toe. Tilt your head back and touch your nose.
What?
Walk the line. Heel to toe. Tilt your head back and touch your nose. Walk the line. Heel to toe. Tilt your head back and touch your nose. Now recite backwards the alphabet.
Up yours, pig, you do that shit. D-E-U-I, too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye. Walk the line, heel to toe, tilt your head back and touch your nose. Walk the line, heel to toe, play the guitar, go do go.
Follow the pen.
I can't hear you, sir. Say it again.
Put your hands on your hips and follow the pen.
You know I fucked your sister in the back of my van.
Put your hands on your hips and follow the light.
Sir, I just want to go home tonight. D-E-U-I. Too drunk to think about it. Might as well try. Cold and short night, 4th of July. Told you once, told you twice. Drinking and driving is a bad man's life. Told you once, told you twice. Drinking and driving is a bad man's life. Told you once, told you twice, drinking and driving is a bad man's vice.
The Brewing Network, saving your life.
One beer at a time.
Back. Last segment of the show, folks.
With
so,
Rock Candy and Jay.
That's right.
And the meat. Rock Candy and the meat. Coming at you. Wasn't that a crazy
fantastic
bit with a homeless guy? We asked him questions.
You want to try this homebrew before we get into the discussion?
No, I want to talk more about Rock Candy and the meat.
Well, I don't.
Belgian yeah. Dark Candy. Here it is candy, on sir. Crank Call Friday. We're going to crank your calls.
Did you guys open the listener beer? Is that what you're talking about?
No, but we're just letting it get warm, so why don't we just drink it?
Oh, Danielle
this stuff right here?
Yeah, that stuff right
there. It's been out of the fridge since 5.
I'm not drinking it.
Oh. That's why you put it out there for the rest of
it. It's been sitting for 2.5 hours.
Is this Dave's beer?
Dave.
This is from David.
Dave's not here.
And he wanted...
because he lives like 5,000 miles away.
He wanted us to try his beer. Specifically, he wanted Jameel to try his beer.
Right? Who?
He wants to make sure I die.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about the rest of you guys.
He is McGruffus in the forum, so maybe some of you know him. Who's eating in the microphone?
Not me.
JP.
JP. I'm not eating.
I totally
someone
saw you.
Someone's John Palmer, are you chomping your lips?
Yeah, it was JP. You're right.
Oh, that really pisses him off.
I'm looking down. I can hear it. Don't, John, I don't care if you're a brewing celebrity. I will...
He'll come across this bench and
you
cut
want.
Your throat, man.
And slap you.
Somebody give me crackers.
Yeah. Bastards. I gotta have a no cracker rule in the house.
You can
on Sundays.
You can belch enough to like take somebody's eyebrows off, but don't smack your lips on the yeah. microphone.
Give me some of those good German pretzels.
I still hear. I see Jamil licking his teeth there too.
Just mute him.
God damn
I can't
it!
Do anything.
Maybe I'm just hearing things. I could Maybe. Be going nuts.
Is chewing tobacco okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You can even spit. That's fine. It's the lip smacking them. That
one. Yeah.
Ah.
Oh. How about gum?
Ah, that drives thing. Me nuts. Yeah.
Nothing says trailer like gum.
Nothing says trailer radio like gum. All right.
So now that the show's off to a rousing start for the final segment.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's try David's beer because he wanted you to do so, Jamil. So
JP,
go ahead and give it a taste. Everybody go ahead and give a taste. And
Do it, JP.
Do it.
I think he just, as usual, you know, wants to know our opinion, maybe anything that he can try to make better.
What do we got here?
I'm trying to read through.
ESB.
ESB.
You have the recipe sheet there, too, Justin.
I do?
I have it.
Jamil has it. Why don't you go through this, Jamil?
So we should we serve Jamil first?
Either my eyesight's going or this was done on an inkjet printer.
it got a little wet and
yeah, it was in
sticky.
The kegerator. Well,
what's the wetness factor of the paper?
Yeah, this was a B3 ESB, it says.
Oh, then it's going to be great.
83% pale malt, UK pale malt, 6.8% Crystal 40, 6.8% honey malt, 3.4% special roast, and a bunch of Magnum for 38.4 IBUs. Woo!
Wow. And, big on an ESB, huh?
Yeah, that's a bit big for an ESB. And 5.5 IBUs at 5 minutes of East Kent Goldings, and at 1 minute, again, 1.2 IBUs at East Kent Goldings, 3.22 ounces in 10.5 gallons.
Okay.
Some English ale yeast.
Nice. I like the English ale yeast.
Started at 1056, finished at 1018, 45 IBUs.
Is that a high finish there, the 1018?
Yeah, that's a tad high.
Okay.
Should be what, these like English beers 1014 or something like that would be more appropriate?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch the beginning. Is it an all grain or an extract or a mini? Did you say it's all grain at the beginning? It's
well,
all grain?
Since I mentioned all grains.
Okay.
It would be all
That's what I said I didn't hear the beginning. I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Like usual.
Yeah.
I kind of fell asleep.
There.
Yeah.
What?
I felt like it was Monday morning at 10 a.m.
Focusing on his book writing.
Yeah.
With Justin, you need to increase in the tone a little bit. When it gets monotone, he just tones
I'm out.
Out.
And you got to say tits every now and then.
35%
two-row, tits.
For one reason or another, it's the number one show on the Brewing Network. Oh, it's not the Sunday show.
You know, that's really unofficial, you know that?
It is unofficial.
Well, okay.
Everybody knows that ratings are all pseudoscience.
I think Jamil just has more family members than everyone else here.
Oh, look, honey, Jamil's on the radio again.
All right, everybody is...
Only two people piped up and said it was the highest rated one.
It's true.
We're Jamil.
Where are the other 10,000?
Okay. Exactly.
Let's get to the beer.
The silent majority.
Everyone has done the aroma thing. They've all smelt it.
Let's
and they're
get
starting to,
the beer to
taste now also.
And one of the things I wanted to say about every time that I'm tasting a listener beer, I'm like Simon Cowell on American Idol. I'm looking at the ideal, the flawless beer.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you everything that keeps it from being the greatest beer in the world.
You should be our Simon Cowell.
So if I'm saying something that's not complimentary about the beer, it's because the things I'm saying are off of the most flawless beer in the world. If I'm not saying a whole bunch of stuff, it must be a pretty darn good beer. And if I don't say anything whatsoever, then I didn't even care to assess the beer.
Ah.
So I'll always have something, and if it is truly flawless, I will say this is a flawless, wonderful beer.
Yeah.
I think, Sean gave us some really spectacular stuff the other day.
Yeah.
And I think, St. Taurus. I can't remember the guy's name.
Token.
Yeah, not like that's his name. Gave us some really great beers the week before that.
That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had some really fantastic beers, and I didn't have a lot to say because they were really, really good. You know, a couple little things you'd change.
I think his full name is Token Black.
Yes, yes, okay. On this one...
Somebody had to do it.
The thing that's going on with this is there's a little bit of a wild yeast thing going on there.
Really?
Yeah. And it's you're getting like a thin, bubbly carbonation, and the beer's there's kind of a clovey, plasticky thing going on.
I get it's like clove, like pepper, corn.
I bet if you did the final gravity now, it wouldn't be 10.18.
No, this is more like it's 10.
Oh, you think it kept
10,
going?
12.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
there's right. a wild yeast that's carbonating this and thinning it out.
It's very carbonated.
Yeah.
And it's...
Plastic.
I don't get the clove, but I do get that plastic.
And it's kind of sharp, that sharp taste to it.
Yeah. And very thin. Is that why you guys are saying, too, it's probably... Because it's not... Mm-hmm. 10.18 would be... Uh-huh. It'd be
pretty viscous.
Yeah. And it's not. It's very thin.
Right.
So, bottling day, the wife was washing the dog in the sink at the same time, or vacuuming.
Yeah. Could happen.
She was pissed at you because it's bottling day.
Yeah, she's like,
and she's vacuuming the house, yeah.
Unfortunately, it may be just this bottle, or it could have been the batch, but...
And also...
don't know. We don't know how the mail handled this bottle.
Yeah.
Looking at this...
mail.
There's two packages of White Labs English Ale Yeast, WLP002, which is great yeast.
Yeah.
This is for 10.5 gallons of a 1056 beer. If you didn't make a starter with that, then that's not enough yeast. And that's one of the reasons why it's not attenuating fully. It's one of the reasons why there's a lot of leftover sugars. That may be one of the reasons why there's a wild yeast that
got into it.
Had something to eat once it got in there.
Right. So, make sure you're making a good, clean starter and, watch all those post-boil things. Other than that, I think, there's a nice malt character to it. I think, the hops are good. I think, it was a well-brewed beer, other than there's a little issue there with a little bit of the fermentation, which is really the hardest thing to accomplish.
Yeah.
Speaking about Sean and...
Paxson.
Taurus and, the beers that they did. The brewing process, and Carlo came up with a couple of beers the other day, which is fantastic as well. The sins that these guys are committing are, recipe sins. The brewing is fantastic. And, they're just adjusting around the recipes. And, this is, just one of the things is fermentation. Those guys have fermentation down.
Yeah.
Sanitation down, and it's flawless. And that's, the key to great beer. And then the rest is just... monkeying around with the ingredients.
But monkeying around properly. But the meat of it, yeah.
Or buying a book called The Brewing 80
brewing
Classic Styles or whatever.
Brewing Beers
by
Meat
and Rock Candy. Yeah.
Does anybody else find it fascinating how politically correct Jamil feels? He's like, he's afraid to say Token.
He got really uncomfortable with that whole
You know that Token thing. Called us and said, I'm Token, right?
Yeah, I know. I was there.
But you're like...
in the chat, and I was
like,
there.
Now, that's a
Saint
nuclear Karras article
sent us his beer,
well,
and it was really...
name.
It was great.
That's his chat name. But he uses Token from South Park. Park. Yeah.
But he also...
I thought that was the nuclear particle accelerator.
Token?
Yeah, the big tokamak.
John, you are insane.
It's the one black guy on South Park.
Didn't you guys think
that? I got a new beer geek.
I think John and Colin grew up on the same asteroid crater.
I think that they are long lost twin brothers.
Yeah. Gloop, glorp, gleep, glorp. Glorp, glorp, gleep, glorp.
Yeah, we don't want to put those two on a show together. I mean, Jamil and Rock Candy are great, but you put Rock Candy next to Colin, it will be like speaking in some other language.
Oh, man.
All right. I got a bunch of questions in front of me, too. Are we done with...
No, we got one more.
There's a second beer? Well, pour it, and I'll start with another... unless you've already poured it, it's going to take a few minutes.
Why would I ever plan ahead for anything?
Go ahead and do that, and I'll throw a question out so we can start getting through
JP,
here.
Put your helmet on. Pour the beer.
Yay! See if I can find a quick one here. Ah, how about this one?
Well, actually, you see, the whole thing is, I can't remember the guy's name.
I know.
He was very nice, introduced himself.
Yeah.
Brought his lovely wife.
Very nice and very black, and I don't really pay attention to people
and
like
I
that.
Was really uncomfortable because there wasn't another black person.
Because I was sitting in the front of the room.
I can't remember the guy's name, so I feel bad about not remembering the guy's name. Give me a break.
I actually don't. Well, he introduced himself to me even at the bar. He said, "I'm Token." So you're right. I don't remember his name either. After that, he said his name.
Yeah.
I was still laughing about Token.
But you don't.
So I didn't remember.
You don't feel bad about not remembering the guy, nice guy who brought really good beer's name?
Fine. I feel bad.
He's getting a lot of press right now, though.
Yeah.
Press. Like he has a book on extracts?
Hey, somebody puts caller, all that you're trouble. On the air. What's happening?
Hey, this is Sven calling to test my cell phone.
Are you in the bathroom, Sven?
Sven is here, by the way. Like, he's in the building.
He did a long pee.
He's, like, looking at me from the studio right now. Yeah, your cell phone works fine, Sven. It's good. Did you just get a new one?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's good,
thank
buddy.
You.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Fucking asshole.
It's got stuff on there he doesn't even know how to use yet.
I was going to do a question, but now you guys have the beer in front of you.
All right, so the second one's Munich Dunkel, 62.5% Munich malt, 33 and a third Pilsner, 2.1% Carafa 2, 2% Crystal 120, some Perla, some Hallertauer, and German Bock East, Starting Gravity, 1052.
This one smells the same as the last one.
Is it I was thinking grain? The same thing. It smells the same.
I haven't tasted it.
I rinsed my glass out.
But it already smells the same as the last one.
No, is this extract?
I think this guy's wife doesn't like him.
Yeah. No, this is all grain.
She's dosing him.
He just read all the grains, JP.
She's dosing. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Like I said, I didn't catch the first part.
Yes.
Oh, wait,
I'm getting doesn't have nearly the character of the first one.
It smells a little spicy, though.
It's a little bit spicy, but nowhere near where the first one is.
Henning, I see a call.
But I wonder if that's because there's more dark grains to hide that.
Because there's a month difference in the brew dates.
Okay. All right.
To me, it tastes a lot like the last one. Peppercorn, spicy, coriander-ish kind of
this
thing.
One, this
but
one
it has more malt,
some.
So I think it's covering up, right? Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I think it's a better beer. It's a little milder than the last one.
Yeah.
But it's coming on. But there's a month between the two, so
it's good beer.
In a month, that might be an issue. But this one, yeah, I could have a pint of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this.
I would suggest a change on the recipe. Instead of doing the Crystal Caramel 120 and the Pilsner, I would just go all Munich and the Carafa.
There.
You don't want any of those little kind of ends up roasty kinda, caramel?
It ends up too sweet. You know, the Dunkel is not necessarily sweet. It's malty. It's richly malty and, ends up drying out. And the Caramel Crystal ends up leaving a little too much residual caramel sweetness, I think.
Yeah.
So I would just make that change.
Munich Dunkel's the style that I was originally shooting for when I came out when I started homebrewing. That was like the Midwest box that we were getting. Was the a not necessarily sweet lager, a dark lager.
Hmm. Well, and if you look at the Altbeerisch Dunkel by Eyinger, that's
easy for you to say.
That's that's 99
so funny 90, rock candy
99% Munich malt
cut
and
rock candy.
Just enough Carafa special to color it up, and it doesn't have really a caramel sweetness. It's got some malt sweetness to it, but a real full rich Munich malt character. And it's really, I think, one of the ones that really defines the style.
So what would you say percentage-wise?
99% Munich malt and 1% Carafa 2 special.
Good. And you're good to go.
But I think, nice. So clearly the brewing process for this guy is going well. There's just some point in the process where he's picking up a wild yeast.
It's his wife's pissed at him. I said that at the beginning.
Or he needs to change the bucket.
Yeah,
Justin,
or it
you
might
need
be
to
a hose, or it might be, at some
where
point where...
It's the hose or a bucket
it
or
may
something.
Be, it may be bottling. It may be, if you're reusing your bottles, that can make
or
an
even,
issue.
Or even where he's bottling, maybe. Like, right. If he's doing it in the garage and the door's open...
Right.
Blowing
or even in the kitchen, there's a lot of stuff going on in the kitchen.
Not your kitchen.
That's right.
not Jameel's.
I have somebody here who brewed with me, who came out from Chicago and brewed with me.
How's his kitchen?
He will vouch for me.
His kitchen, it looks like a hospital, right?
Very sloppy.
Just like everybody
else. Oh, really? He's saying it looks like everybody else.
Yeah, I have finally met somebody who sanitizes like better than me.
No.
He is the Howard Hughes of brewing sanitization.
Really? Did he, like, not want to touch you? So he didn't want to shake your hand?
He put on a glove, and he shook my hand. The guy's amazing.
No glove, no love, baby.
I would trust him to sanitize everything for me.
Whoa!
No kidding. Yes. Wow. Wow.
Now love connection.
Who is this gentleman we speak of? Because people don't know who we're talking about.
Ross Lunato.
And was the winner of a six-pack.
He won a six-pack, and then he decided he wanted to come out and drink it here.
Yeah.
So, hey,
why not, right?
Well, Sean Paxton wants to know if he gets to keep his own clean suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that his nuts have touched the clean suit, he's got to take it home.
It's no longer clean. It's soiled.
So he came out. We brewed together and had some beers and been having a wild old time.
Oh, it sounds like a blast.
I think John's jealous.
Rock Candy wouldn't be jealous.
Sweet turning sour.
Somebody asked if you and Jameel, John, are going to do a brew together. Someone put that through. You guys going to brew a beer?
No.
The virtual beer.
John, didn't I tell you were going to be the one who took the butt of all the jokes by the end of the night?
You said jokes.
Come on, that's fire and ice. It's never going to mix.
You guys would fight the whole time about the proper procedure, I think.
He'd be quoting, hey, in page 168 of my book, yeah. you're really not doing it the right
and
way.
And then you go, yeah. Well, in my book, what about yours? Oh, that's right, you haven't written a book.
Oh, man.
You haven't followed protocol.
He went to write to Double Dog Dare.
So you guys aren't going to do
Dog Dare.
Triple Dog Dare.
Maybe, you know, like people do these like press tours for books. Maybe you guys ought to brew together to do like a promotion or something.
But you have to bottle.
Nobody would be around. And that'd be very effective, Justin. Yeah, that's why the Brewing Network's doing it.
Trouble is, I would stand there and be drinking and he would could do everything. So,
but you have to do it in Jameel's kitchen because I have a feeling that you could fix E.T. in your kitchen. The way it's no E.T.
is
no.
In prepare okay. and
E.T.
And
the thing with the bubble and all the kids and the clean room with
Ross
E.T. has
seen
with the movie
my clean room.
Jesus,
you know you paid him off for this.
We were pantsless.
He was stunned at how sloppy my process was.
I bet Ross did his business in your clean room.
They dangle a little something in the wart.
Depends on what you mean by business. Yeah.
This is how I aerate. I fan over the bucket with my sack. Back and forth.
Caller, you're on the air. What's happening? Meeting.
What's up, guys?
How are you? Who are we talking to?
This is Homegrown Hops.
Homegrown.
H-H.
How are you, man?
Congratulations on Anderson.
Semi-good right now.
How's Anderson Brewing treating you? Anderson Brewery.
Oh, that's great. Actually, the job's doing really fine.
Yeah?
Having a good time there.
Did they P-test you?
No, why?
Just checking.
Because if you pass, they make you smoke.
What can we do for you tonight?
Dude, I'm actually drunk of the week, and I'm bummed of the week, actually.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about that.
Well, since I moved to the Valley here, I haven't been able to listen live at all. Just got back from Eureka tonight, actually, and I'm listening to last week's show on my laptop. And, God.
That's a good story.
Drunk.
You can be drunk of the week, but you can't listen?
Yeah. And by the way, I can't tell if he's drunk of the week or if he's on Xanax.
Yeah.
Like, you're really...
Zoloft.
He's always like this, homegrown. He calls in and he's like,
yeah. little drool working up in the corner.
You're
of
not calling from the inside of a fermenter or anything, are you?
No, I'm not inside anything. I'm actually inside my house and, having a homebrew.
Well, get to brewing, all right? You got to get back in the saddle. Moving is no excuse, is it, John Palmer?
That's right.
Get back in the saddle, my friend.
Brewer, not stump.
No sympathy here.
Yeah. But tell them that the oatmeal stout and the Boone Amber are two of my favorite beers.
The oatmeal stout is what I look up to for my oatmeal stout. It's
really? Beautiful. Anderson Valley, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, HH just got a job brewing for them. So, yeah.
And unfortunately, I just blanked on the head brewer's name at Anderson Valley.
What's his name, homegrown?
The head brewer is Dave Gatlin.
Dave Gatlin.
I'm actually just a lab geek. Brewer.
Okay.
So
fair.
Clarify that.
Well, Lab Geek is fine.
That's right. Keeps the brewers doing what they do, you know?
You should make it out to Boonville so you could try the double nickel. That's the double IPA that you can't really get outside of the valley, yeah.
Who are you talking to, me or John?
Either one of you.
Oh, cool.
He meant John, but it wasn't John.
Yeah.
Being nice. That was nice of you to include Justin.
Yeah, it's a double nickel. It's a double IPA. It's, I think, 9% ABV, and it's really tasty.
Okay. All right, cool. I got to clear the line.
Right on.
Thanks, brother.
Later.
The reason I got to clear the line is not because I didn't want to talk to Homegrown, but I got to tell you guys, Skype's not working. It keeps telling me the audio's not working. So call the number, 888-401-BEER. I see a bunch of you calling in. We'd love to talk to you. Just go ahead and call the hotline, 888-401-BEER. Caller, you're on the line. What's happening?
I'm on the line.
Oh, it's starting good.
Hey.
Who are we talking to?
Dr. Scott's brother.
MedTech.
I had it. I guessed
right. John,
there.
You knew right off the bat. You didn't even stumble with him.
He laughs like Doc. Have you noticed that?
He kind of does. Well, they both rival for drunk of the week. So,
can you say freaking out, MedTech?
And he's MedTech's also in the medical profession. It's a very strange parallel. Maybe this is your long lost Bernie.
Maybe it could be.
Is this Stump the Brewer?
Do you have a Stump the Brewer question?
Yeah, how long until the anniversary show?
MedTech's got his flight out already, so it's coming up soon. All right, I got to go. I got a bunch of questions to get through, MedTech.
97 days, 21 hours, 10 minutes, and 37, 6, 35, 34.
He knows exactly. All right, brother, we'll be seeing you out here in June, and I'm stoked about that. We'll keep you up to date about the anniversary party. Don't talk too much about it right now. You'll make Daniela cry.
June what?
She wants to go. June 3rd, I think it is. June 4th or 3rd, somewhere around there. Whatever
you
that weekend
is. You
have
to fly me in, Justin.
I'll
Well, there's people who have already canceled their flights if I'm not going to be there.
It doesn't surprise me. Okay, just before we started getting calls, I started to go through some of these questions. One of them, since you're a metallurgist, John Palmer, someone wants to know, how does one go about repairing a stainless steel pot that's been scratched?
Scorched.
It says scratched.
I thought it said scorched.
Okay, well, I'll answer both.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
A, scratched, you really don't need to do much.
Okay.
If anything. There you'll see two schools of thought on stainless steel clean. I advocate if you scratch it or scorch it, to get in there with a green scrubby and some Revere Ware or Barkeeper's Friend or Clean King, you know, stainless steel cooking ware cleanser and a scrubby, and just buff it right out. And this is disputed by the Mr. Wizard at BYO, Ashton Lewis, but he's speaking from a commercial brewing setting where, you know, they're looking at it from a clean in place perspective, where if you get scratches on the stainless, then that area is not going to rinse the same way as in a clean in place where, you know, it's just solvent contact or surfactant contact versus scrubbing, but that area is not going to clean well and rinse well from there on out.
Okay.
But, you know, as homebrewers, we don't have to worry about that. You know, we can, you know, we scorch it this week, we can scorch it again next week and clean it again next week.
Yeah.
You know, you won't scorch it on the homebrewing level.
Okay.
You know, unless you're using a jet burner at, you know, 50,000 or 500,000 IBUs or whatever.
Like Doc.
Yeah.
You're done, I mean, man.
You know, it's just,
oh, keep
that's,
liquid
that's
in the
not
pot
a worry.
And you'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Yeah. I'd like a burner with 500,000 IBUs.
So if you scratch, if you get a deep scratch, weld repair it. You know, find a TIG welder that can weld repair it. But otherwise, don't worry about it. Get in there. If you got a scorch mark that you got to clean off, use some cleanser and a scrubby and scrub it off.
And you only have to worry about the scorch marks because of a flavor issue, right? Like the scratches aren't going to there's no flavor issue.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're fermenting in your pot, different story. You may want to buff that out and you know, get rid of the sharp corner that could harbor bacteria.
Okay.
But
if you scorch your pot 1 week, so you've got that kind of a black crud now at the bottom, and you brew in it the next week without cleaning it, you're really going to get that off flavor, right, from that scorch. It'll carry over just because it's there.
Right.
Yeah. So you ever burned something bad in a pot and then try to cook in it again?
Yeah. Tastes burnt.
Tastes burnt.
Yeah.
It's my man. Got in that argument with my wife last week.
Ah.
Oh, it's fine. No, it's not fine.
You didn't punch her or anything, did you?
No.
That's good.
I kicked her, though.
You want me to set up a steel cage match between you and Mr. Wizard, John Palmer, about your stainless steel disputes?
No. I've got the one with Denny coming up at the end.
That's true. So, yeah, we'll be talking
celebrity
more about
death that. Match.
Someone wants to know, John, if you'd consider speaking to homebrew clubs, and how would they ask you about doing that?
Just email me at john@howtobrew.com.
Okay.
Just last weekend, I was out at the Kansas City Beer Meisters competition.
Oh, cool.
And helped judge beer at their contest, and then I gave a talk at the banquet Saturday night. And yeah, I love those things. Those are fun. You know, it's really a good time.
Yeah. If you ever talk to anybody about John, one of the things they always say is how kind of down to earth and cool he is about doing things. So I think it's easy to say he'll come speak at your event if he has time.
Yeah. So. It's just a matter of, you know, scheduling with the family and figuring out. You know, if the timing's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, just give me an email, john@howtobrew.com, and I'd be happy to.
Cool. There you have it. Okay. A couple of questions about beer, just random things. Someone wants to know, guys, what to do when you overcarbonate your beer. And I think we're going to have to start by saying it depends on how you package your and carbonate your beer.
Good package.
Because if you overcarbonate a beer in a bottle, you're just kind of screwed, right? Nothing you can do?
Well, you pop can pop it and recap, you know, it. Yeah, ease up on the caps, let it bleed off. For
oh,
a
you
bit.
Can. Oh, yeah. Right.
And then you know, recap it or, you know, put a fresh cap on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if it was in a keg and they overcarbonated,
just open the.
You got to vent it for about a week. It's just little.
Well, depends. Yeah. You know,
if you really want to do it
continuously for a week.
you vent it in a little every day, yeah. And then
or bleed some off.
Or you got to shake it a little
let
bit.
The head space fill up.
Yeah.
Bleed
you said
off.
Space.
I think we got a caller on here. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, Rat Pack for life.
Okay, this must be Geist beer.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it.
Rat Pad.
Are you going for drunk of the week? You going for drunk of the week or just rat padding?
Well, a little bit of both.
Okay.
He's going for rat pad.
I've got a question here. I've got an important question.
Do it.
It's very sad. We're all disappointed that Danielle is leaving us. Yeah. We're all heartbroken, honestly.
Yeah.
I hear
a
butt
coming.
At the
same time, does that mean that the second anniversary show might be at the Rat Pad now?
No.
Yeah.
I still run the thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys know. Are you married, Geist?
No, that's why I can ask such things.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm not, but it's like the same thing, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I understand.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be at the Rat Pad. I pretty much have the place picked out, I will say, but it's not, I don't have all the details done, so I can't announce it yet. But nobody's going to be disappointed, you know.
Cool.
Unless you're the Rat Pad.
We're looking forward to hearing the announcement. I hope to make the trip.
I hope you do, too. I saw that in the forum that you were going to try to make it, and I think it'd be cool, and I'll bring you some onion rings.
Great. Ding, looking forward to it.
All right, brother.
Hopefully
thanks, man.
Off Burger King for it,
though. I hope to get the day off. I'm going to put in advance.
Great.
Cheers, guys.
Rat Pad.
Rat Pad.
Right. I'm going to put in advance if Tyrone can cover me.
He said put in.
John, what's the worst beer you've ever brewed? Someone wanted to know.
The first one.
And does anybody have a
it
beer
really was
in
the
here?
First
speaking
one.
Of beer?
I got a question. Did you ever figure out? Do you ever figure out what was wrong with that first beer? What you did?
It was the wild yeast thing.
Yeah.
It was overcarbonated, really thin bodied, and you know, just that that wild yeast where it, you know, it's fermented down to no taste and fizzy.
Yeah. Yep, it's something that. I learned, I didn't know at first, too, was drinking a beer or somebody else's beer, and it's thin, fizzy, and not a lot of taste.
Yeah. And well, actually, I've had two. The first one was, I think, also that was cidery because of all the corn sugar in that batch. My third batch...
Because you went by the directions.
Yeah. The third batch was when I tried to do the spiced Christmas beer, where I thought, oh, I'm going to add some of the ginger, and I'm going to add this and that and this and the other thing. Not only were the spices too heavy, but it got the wild yeast and fermented away to nothing.
Yeah. So.
Justin, can I have my beer back, please?
Oh, you want it back? I thought.
Oh, I was saying have some of mine.
Oh,
because,
I had half of it.
Because as soon as
he's not talking germs, he's talking beer.
Sorry, I thought you were.
As soon as I popped that, I got 20 leeches all over it. So,
yeah, my bad.
Thank you.
Was that your beer that you brewed?
No, that's Doggy Claws from Hair of the Dog 2005.
It's a good beer. It's really good
beer. Barley wine, it's great.
Sean Paxton has a case, and he decided to come and take some of mine.
Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
The Red Sox. MedTech is the drunk of the week.
This is MedTech again?
That'd be great if it was someone else.
I know. Yeah. It's like he just
cheering him on.
It's a fan of MedTech. Yeah. He just calls
MedTech
to... All right. So far, MedTech, you're drunk of the week.
What happened to Code? I thought he was going to come on strong here.
Yeah, he hasn't called.
Code is depressed.
Okay. Another question coming through from the chat room. Aren't alpha acids converted to bittering compounds that are not acids?
I don't know.
Whoa!
Is that Bob again?
I don't know.
Isoalpha acids.
They're called
isomerized. So they would
alpha.
Still be acids, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The answer would be no. No.
It's like
those bittering compounds are still an acid. They've just been converted to another acid.
That's what they call them, isoalpha acids.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's like if you have a sex change, you're still a dude.
And isomerized,
you know what I mean? Even though you get it cut off,
great
and you have
analogy.
Pits, you're still a dude.
Yeah, yeah. True.
And isomerized just means it's still chemically the same thing. It's just a different structure.
Yeah. Okay.
Again,
so a chemically, part you're still a dude. Or a part removed.
Yes or no?
Exactly.
No. Do acids contribute flavor, and do you get phosphates from phosphoric acid? Two-part question
acids,
for the gallery.
Acids definitely do contribute flavor.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're going to acidify your water with whatever we have available, lactic, phosphoric, whatever else you want to use, it's going to come through in the flavor.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had that on the show with Scott Beard. Did that? He did side by side with that.
Yeah,
one.
I remember.
And it, you could really tell the difference in there, especially side by side.
Mm-hmm.
By side.
Yeah, I mean lactic has a different flavor, but phosphates.
I like the taste of phosphoric acid. It's a little more spritzy. It's kind of in certain kind of beer. It's nice.
It's like soda.
Yeah, it's like soda.
Well, I guess the question is, what compounds are formed when you add phosphoric acid to?
It's a two-part question.
You know, wort.
Yeah. I'm a metallurgist,
phosphates?
Not
yeah,
an organic chemist.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. Next question.
But yeah,
I can tell you how to react.
Well, yeah, it breaks
kettle,
up into hydrogen and phosphates. So
I think the question is, why do you care?
Well, isn't that? I mean, that's how they made soda back in the day, isn't it? Phosphates.
Yeah, they had phosphates too.
But I mean, I don't know what a phosphate would necessarily taste like.
Well, it depends. If you have cherry flavoring, it'd be cherry. Or if you had a grape, it'd be grape. John.
Yeah. If you bought A&W, it tastes like root.
What the fuck?
And beer.
Quite possibly, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the answer.
Okay.
We don't know.
Does chloride cause chlorine? This should be all. These all should be Stump the Brewer questions, by the way. Yeah. Does chloride cause chlorine off flavors?
Oh, yeah. I saw this one on the forum. No. The chloride in your water, the mineral or the ion, is different from chlorine and chloramine used for chlorinization.
Mm-hmm.
They just sound like chlor.
Yeah. So if you have a high chloride content in your water, chances are it's going to taste more salty than it would Band-Aid.
Okay. It gets the Band-Aid when the chlorine...
Yeah.
Actually bonds with something else, and the chlorides don't really want to do that.
Right. They exist as an ion, and it's, parts per million. I think chlorine is different chemical structure. You can get not only chlorine, but you can get hypochlorite and different oxidation compounds, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So if you're adding sodium chloride or potassium chloride or whatever else,
it's free reactive chlorine.
You're not going to get the same thing as you're not going to get the Band-Aid flavor,
right?
So, answer, no.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hello.
Hey, MedTech.
This is MedTech.
Hi, Mrs. MedTech. Did he pass?
I just wanted to call to say how proud I am of my husband.
Yeah.
He is incredible.
Yeah, we agree.
Hey, I hear amazing,
I mean, that guy's something else.
Is he hugging porcelain?
Right.
He's just so great.
Super duper.
Is he hard, wet, and sticky?
Oh, man.
I think he's drunk.
Of the week. Ah.
Okay. Is he wearing pants?
Wait. Is he wearing pants, Mrs. Medtech?
Would you like to know?
No, not really.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Medtech. I think so far, again, Medtech is our drunk of the week. Surprise, surprise. Back to welding stainless steel, John Palmer. Back to your forte. What about passivating after stainless steel welding, they said?
Okay. After welding, you've got to get rid of the tinted oxides, especially. You know, after you weld something, you'll see, you know, blue, straw, different color oxides around the weld joint.
Kind of a rainbowy kind of look.
Yeah. That's what you got to get off, because those oxides are not the passive oxides, and those oxides will allow rusting of the stainless.
And do you advocate either polish them off, or do you want to go chemical to get them off?
Well, either one, but frankly, the easiest way is not hot nitric. Nitric doesn't go after heat tin oxides very well. The easiest way to get rid of them is the stainless steel cleanser, you know, kitchen cleanser, mm-hmm. and a scrubby. Clean them off with that. They're gone. Your stainless instantly repassivates itself. Not to the degree that a hot nitric passivation would, but it's, you know, what, 90%? I mean, I'm pulling the number out of the air. But, you know, 90% passivated at that point. If you go to a hot nitric treatment after you get the heat tin off, it'll be more passivated. But for our, you know, for all our intents and purposes, once you get that oxide off to clean metal, it instantly repassivates itself. It's passivated. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Okay.
If you're going to use a wire brush on it, which I have, you got to use a stainless steel brush on
it.
Yeah,
I thought you weren't supposed to use that on stainless steel.
No, you can't.
Don't use steel.
No,
you got to use stainless steel.
And if you're going to use a stainless steel brush, or I'll use a rotary brush after I weld it, you don't want to use a brush. Keep your stainless brushes that are stainless steel brushes that have only used stainless steel. If you've ever used them on regular carbon steel, don't go back to your stainless with them.
That's true.
That's right.
Okay.
And even with the stainless steel and stainless steel, you got to be cautious, because there are different grades of stainless steel, different types of stainless steel, and you can still end up with some
contamination.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which leads to a little bit of rust,
mm-hmm. yeah.
around the weld, because you're actually adding in carbon steel to mm-hmm. it.
Right.
So a scrubby's probably yeah. your best.
All way. Corrosion is galvanic at root. So if you put two types of stainless steel together in an electrolyte like beer, then you're going to get a galvanic reaction between them, and you're going to get corrosion.
Okay.
So that's why I say just use the scrubby and the cleanser.
But then does it not come back? Like just getting it off once and it's done?
Yeah, because you create it with welding.
Okay.
And it's got that rainbow kind of bluish effect.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you get that off of there, what are you saying? You clean that off with a scrubby, and scrubby's just scrubby.
Yeah, a green scrubby or a kitchen sponge.
Kitchen sponge with that hard scrubby stuff on there.
Yeah.
And once you get that off and you dry it, the air hits it.
Yeah.
It's passivated.
Done. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Get down to bare metal and you're done.
We're going to take a call, and I got one more question, and that's going to do it. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening? You there?
Hi, MedTech.
Not there. Okay. This was a good question that came through a little bit earlier. It says, we started using Werflock today.
We?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of them.
That's a we. at least two.
Yeah, it's a royal we.
Started using Werflock today while brewing.
Crotching his horse.
And are now noticing chunks in the beer.
That's not good.
Which, by the way, Daniela has spelled as junks. There's junks in the beer.
You do not
Doesn't that amuse you? You're going to miss that, right?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, difficult to deal with somebody who, like, spells
can
stuff.
Spell.
I don't know about how you spell it, but over in Germany, that's how we spell chunks, with a J.
Yeah.
Sean's stupid Americans.
It's actually really funny how often that happens, like with the pronunciation, like meeting our roommate's name is Chad, and the first time Daniela like ever wrote his name, it was S-H-A-T.
Shat.
She thought it was Shat. Like,
I shat myself.
Whatever.
First started using Werflock, noticing chunks in the beer. He says, it hasn't visually started fermenting yet. I was wondering why these chunks are there and if it's going to affect the beer. So
you think it's in his finished beer?
Guess he used Werflock today and he transferred to a fermenter, it sounds like, and now he sees chunks, and maybe he never saw the chunks before using Werflock.
$20 says he used English ale yeast for this batch.
Yeah?
Yeasty chunks.
Yeah.
Could be yeasty chunks, not Werflocky chunks. Does anybody have experience with Werflock chunks? It dissolves.
Even if it's, you know, the whole purpose of the Werflock is to help coagulate all the, you know, proteins, tannins, things like that, and all the break material.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it's just another form of Irish moss.
You know, if you end up with those chunks, that's fine. It's a purified Irish moss. They take the carrageenan out and purify it and acidify it and... all that stuff, if you let it settle in the kettle, no problem. And, if some of it gets into the fermenter, no problem.
So whatever the chunks are, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, taste the beer and then worry about it.
There you go. And it's probably not from the chunks if they taste bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got first a comment and a question.
Go for it. Who are we talking to, first of all?
This is Thirsty Mallard, by the way.
All right, Thirsty, what's happening?
Hey, first of all, the comment, I want to put my vote and all of Texas' vote in for MedTech to be drunk of the week.
Yeah, he deserves it. You're right.
And then my question is for the metallurgist there.
Yeah.
I had bought a Megapod from Northern Brewer, and it ended up having a hole in one of the welds, and I got my girlfriend's dad to patch that weld, but he had some trouble doing it because of the really thin wall on the stainless steel pot.
Okay.
Is there a good way to do that without...
No, what? What did he
say? You need a different girlfriend with a better welder for a father.
The short answer is break up with your girlfriend.
Those kettles are pretty thick.
No, you have to back gas.
Yeah.
Work on that one, JP. You have to back gas it, too.
You said work.
You have to run the argon on the back side of the weld, too.
Yeah.
As you weld it to the front, because you're going to have the gas on the front, but you got to back gas it, too. So split off the argon, make a little kind of a paper dam on the back side, and run the argon off the back side, especially on the thin metal.
Scott, can you let what John answer said. The question?
No. You're into that too, John? Same thing?
He's right. I mean,
you're picking up what he's putting down?
If that is indeed the caller's problem, that he didn't
it's
get a girl flow.
Problem, clearly.
Okay.
John?
Yeah! I have no idea what that means, but I'll play the archive from my girlfriend's dad.
No.
Right?
Girlfriend's flow has nothing to do with it.
Ant flow.
The flow of the metal, if you had a problem with the flow of the metal on the hole.
Because that's how
the flow of the
that's
hole.
How ancient tribes used to bat gas.
Yeah.
They would use the flow. Yeah. Uh-oh.
We're trying here. Hang in there, Thirsty. We're going to get to this. You just wait a second.
Basically, Doc gave you the answers, what it comes down to.
Why do I call at the end of the show looking for answers?
Exactly. Yeah. No, John, you can do this, John. You can do this.
What exactly was the problem with the weld?
There was a hole in it.
There's a hole in it, and he had to patch the hole.
There was a hole in the weld originally, and he tried to just patch the weld, and, you know...
It kept patching.
There was a very thin wall there, and it just...
Did he blow through it, or what?
Oh, there was some trouble. He didn't end up doing it, but, I mean, he came really close to it. He said it was... I mean, the patch was easy enough, but... I'm just curious, in the event that there was something where I had to patch closer to the thin wall, is there a better way to do that?
Yeah, really what Doc said is right on. To weld stainless effectively, you've got to make sure you have good cover gas on both sides. And getting the backside can be important, is important. So,
getting the backside, but especially when you're welding thin metal, if you're trying to put on a half connector on there, so you can have some into a thin stainless steel, it's going to do that. You're going to get some blow through.
Shut up, JP.
And you're going to be constantly chasing those those leaks, those little holes in there, and you won't notice them. You'll clean off all that the black crud on the and make a nice little nice looking weld on there until you put water in there and it's leaking on the side again.
Yeah,
and it's usually because you haven't gotten enough the cover gas on the back side of it.
Yeah, I mean, really, it would have been best to send the pot back and get another one.
Yeah, true that. That's why didn't you just say? Why didn't you send it back and say, "Hey, it's you just wanted to brew that day."
I really wanted to use it, and I knew my girlfriend's dad had a weld, so I just figured.
Yeah.
Well, give him a few pointers from us. Yeah. And let him weld it again.
Welding of thin-walled stainless is tough because you got to have good cover gas.
It also will warp real well because of the stainless properties too. They don't. It doesn't like to transmit heat very well, and it'll warp.
Yeah, I can weld aluminum fine. I suck at welding stainless.
I'm the other way around.
Now, I will say that the Northern Brewer was really good about it. I mean, they gave me some free stuff to say sorry.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, free. Good company.
Not to be bad about any sponsors, of course.
Yeah, no, they are a good company, actually. They've been nothing but cool around here. And another one that does a lot of high volume, too. So just back to the top of extract real quick, you can order from Northern Brewer just to get good extract, too. So cool, Thirsty. Yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, no problem, you guys. Have a good night.
All right, brother.
Thanks. Hope we helped.
You see, JP, why you can't be a regular on the
show? Yeah, I know, man. I lost it there.
Because you get, then I lose it, and then the whole thing is.
Well, I was telling you that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
we had the same conversation. I that's specifically why I said
about back gas.
I can't show up all the time because I really drag things down.
Sorry, JP.
And I believe his name was Thirsty Mallard, right?
Mallard.
Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
I just had to call and reiterate that covering the backside is very important.
Yes,
is this
it
Roger?
Is. Especially when you're drunk of the week.
Of the year, damn it.
Sounds like Roger now.
It does sound
like
Roger.
You went from Dr. Roger.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Signs the eyes.
I did have another question come through. I know. I said there was only one more, but another one came through. It's a good one for you.
That one slipped through, did you?
They want to know about melanoidin malts, and can you use them to mimic a decoction mash?
You said mash.
Yes.
Yeah? I read a little bit about this, and I wasn't convinced.
What do you think, Jamil?
Well,
Jamil doesn't like taking shortcuts.
Are we bugging you, Jamil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we cutting into your downtime?
Yeah.
Your sweat's on. You're just killing. Your eyes have been closed for 20 minutes.
He's just worried about, what made best picture.
No, I think... I think you can make as good or better a beer through appropriate application of specialty malts.
Isn't that melanoidin a specialty malt?
Yes, but a decoction mash does something slightly different. But the difference between that and a non-decoction,
trash cousin.
I don't think there's enough there to warrant the effort. And I think if you enjoy that sort of thing and you're only going to brew once every 6 months and you're going to spend the entire day doing it and you're going to love it, then whip out the decoction. If you're going to try and whip out the decoction, if you're going to
God, I'm so funny.
If you're going to be brewing on a regular basis and something like that will just like drain the fun out of it for you, then just you go with the specialty malts and use some melanoidin or aromatic, some crystal or whatever you have that will mimic those kind of flavors. So either way.
It's rock candy.
Rock
right
candy
there.
Baby. Odd, sweet, and sticky.
You're down and out. Another question. Sorry, John. I got more coming through, man.
That's all right. I'm here all night.
This is the way it goes. I'm just getting you back for calling me late in the show and fixing your Skype headset. In all grain, we boil 60 minutes to drive off DMS.
90.
But couldn't we just go 15 minutes with extract and the appropriate amount of hops to obtain the correct IBUs, add more hops at... I don't know. I think he's saying add more hops at what is this, Danny? At 10 minutes, and then at flame out, have a really hoppy IPA type of
beer? I believe
beer.
Yes, you can.
Thank you, Jamil.
Yeah,
I've said this. I think
can you
it's
clarify
possible
the question?
To do,
I don't even
well,
understand.
Well, the question is, can you instead of doing a 60-minute boil or a 90-minute boil, or actually for driving off DMS or 100 minutes, if you want to be technical about it, instead of doing a 60-minute extract boil, if you're not really concerned about you know, isomerizing all the alpha acids you can out of the hops, you can go to a much shorter boil and produce a beer in, you know, a 15-minute boil is the idea. Now, I haven't tried this. It's just theory for me.
I've done it.
And what do you end up with?
A beer.
Yeah. It was, but you tasted the beer.
I was amazed at how many hops I had to put in there.
You got to put in more hops. But the difference
instead of 4 ounces, you're putting in a pound and a half.
Well, now the difference between a 60-minute boil and a 60-minute utilization in hops and 10 minutes is one-third the utilization of 60 minutes. It's not one-sixth. It's one-third. And at 20 minutes, you know, you're more than two-thirds of the way of the utilization. The bulk of your utilization comes up early in the hops. So, you know, if you're doing a 15-minute or a 20-minute boil, you can really get pretty decent utilization. The bitterness will actually be, I think, it seems a little more mellow as well. So,
well, but technically, don't you end up with a different hop profile?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it can be as bitter, I agree.
Right.
But the
you're gonna
total profile is different.
Yeah. And if you want a really very firm and clean, punchy hot bitterness, you need that 60-minute boil. But if you're, you know, not looking for that,
you want more of the flavor and the aroma
and a kind of a softer bitterness, you can get that in a shorter boil. So I think it's absolutely possible to do a 15-minute beer.
But doesn't the
20-minute beer,
if you're doing those kind of late addition hops with your late flavor and aroma and stuff, doesn't it tend to leave the beer earlier, you know, in the bottle? Like if you bottle it and you have a beer that you made traditionally with your you know, 60-minute hop additions and all that kind of stuff, does the profile last longer and that kind of? I mean, I've heard of other people, you know, doing the 30-minute hops and stuff like that, you know, all late addition, on like an IPA, and they find that the aroma and the flavor don't last as long.
Well, I think even, you know, when you're doing a 60-minute boil, you know, you're doing really late hop additions anyways. I think that the thing, but I think you bring up a good point. I think the thing that could be different is that, you know, the bittering that comes from the longer boil, hey, maybe it stays in solution longer, because one of the things that happens, within a month of brewing a beer, you're going to lose like 8% of your bittering. And I haven't done any sort of side-by-sides or any sort of measurements, but it might be that, you know, the summarized alpha acids from a 30-minute boil, maybe they drop faster. You know, I don't really know, but that might be the case. But I think as far as the aroma and flavor, you know, when you really load up on the aroma and flavor, you know, in the last couple of minutes, if you do a massive load of that sort of thing...
Sorry,
big load.
Massive load.
Yeah. When you have the big load in your beer.
Yeah. Right.
Massive load.
We're going to miss you, Danielle.
What's going to happen is, you know.
You say big load, and John thinks of Danielle.
More of that load is going to drop out. You're going to lose more of your load when you have a big load. So, it really depends on the size of your load.
Yeah. I'm trying over here, Justin. I'm trying to maintain.
He's asking very good questions, I think.
You're doing fine.
Thank you. I'm a double threat. Not only am I really hilariously funny, but I'm very smart.
See, and by the way, this is why...
That's funny.
This is why we wanted John Palmer to come in the studio, too, because everything changes when you get the studio. Like, all of a sudden, you're not Captain Proper anymore. All of a sudden, you get to realize that when John Palmer thinks of Big Load, he thinks Daniela... And this never comes out until people come hang out with us.
Yes.
This is what we do, Doc. It's what we're good at.
I don't think John lets you in until you
hang out
with
people
him a couple
down
times.
To your level. Yes.
Yeah.
You got to spend a couple times with him, and then he'll let you in there.
Question came through. What is RO, and is it good to use it? Now, we've covered this, Doc, so do it briefly because we're going to do a whole show on it. But I think he means water.
RO. Yeah. Reverse. I'm hoping he means water.
I'm hoping so, too. That's all
it's
it says.
The sexual position is
that means water stripped down to its bare nakedness.
Yeah.
And no, you can't really want to use that.
Not
it could
good
be the reticulated
brewing.
Osprey as opposed to the Atlantic Osprey.
Yes, it could.
Right.
By the way, John Palmer just won our first ever Geek of the Week award.
Hey!
It was a suggestion that came through from the chat room that we should have a Geek of the Week, and if Colin was it in the previous weeks, you just earned it tonight with that Yay! Last statement right there, John Palmer. Congratulations.
Yes, you can use RO. I use RO exclusively, but
you gotta build it.
I build my water after that. So usually you need to have problem water pretty much after that. And there's a lot of things you can do with your own water before you just have to abandon it.
Yeah. The problem with RO water is that you need a certain minimum level of different minerals like calcium to get a good fermentation going, a good biochemistry going. And distilled water, RO water, you know, chances are you won't get optimum chemistry for good fermentation if with those
you've got to build it back up. You can't do just straight
you
RO.
Need certain trace minerals as well,
because it has to do a lot with flavor. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a lot of boosting flavor one way or the other.
If you're doing something like a Burton water, you're going to need a big load of mineral salts.
A big load.
I'm glad you've gotten back into the spirit of things.
But there's a lot of other things you can do with your water before you have to go RO. Okay. On it, you can dilute your water, and you can boil your water. There's a lot of things you can do. A lot of people say if your water tastes good, you can brew with it.
Yeah.
That's great to a point.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a generalization.
It's a generalization. It's great to a point. And it's like, well, you know, I brew great porters and stouts, and my pails, they're okay. They're okay, but they're okay. Or I brew great pails and pilsners, but, you know, my stouts are kind of just sharp and nasty. Well, that's because of your water, and that you can deal with. But if just all your beers just suck, listen to us.
Justin, pay attention.
We put everything all the way down. We've done. You're clean. You're doing your fermentation at the proper temperatures and everything, and they still suck. Then, you know, look at the water.
And Doc said that before, that the last thing you should go to...
Look at your water. You could have you're brewing with well water and have it tested. You've never had your water tested? Have your water tested.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a lot of iron in there? Duh.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of things. So, and then you can go to RO water with it.
Danielle is sending me notes. It says this listener uses RO all the time for like 30 batches, and it all turns out great.
Is it just straight RO?
What style is he brewing?
Yeah. We need to know a lot about that.
Well, if you're brewing with extract, that's a whole other matter.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it has the things in the extract.
It's got the things in the extract.
It's been made with proper water.
It's been mashed, so you don't need the proper chemicals to mash it. And also, when you're using extract, it's already got all those minerals in it that they've concentrated down.
Yeah.
So you throw RO, and all you're doing is diluting their chemicals that are in there.
Yeah, you're rehydrating.
And it's fine.
Which is a whole different thing when you're using extract, is you don't know what water they brewed it with. And you're adding your own water into it. You could be doubling up on the carbonates and all kinds of things.
I started brewing with RO water. I didn't know what I was using RO water. I know now in hindsight that it was. But same thing, I did all extract, and I actually brewed a couple of pretty good beers, never had problems with it. But now that I know, now that you say that, I realize, because it was adding
all the
stuff
chemicals
back.
Already in that extract. Yeah. They just concentrated it down. They're only evaporating the water off.
You said hind.
And then last thing on that topic is they want to know if any of you know if there's a chart posted anywhere that shows the ideal water chemistry for each style. Is there anything like that out there?
It's a matter of opinion on a lot of that.
There's no official.
I think that the thing to do is really, you know, brew all the styles. And if something doesn't turn out right, then start looking at your water as a possible cause for
it.
There's so many other factors that make a very big difference.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily go off of region for that style, because a lot of the brewers have to deal with their water just to brew what they're brewing.
Yeah.
So don't make.
Let me put in one plug, or one opinion on that question. He asked for an ideal or a chart of ideal waters for style.
In how to brew, page 1.
Well, not exactly the ideal water, but the key to brewing styles from a water point of view is the concept of residual alkalinity, and. You can read chapter 15 of my book. You can look at the nomograph on the inside back cover. Or you want to go to it online, on howtobrew.com, 15-3. What I've done there is kind of quantified graphically the color of a style versus the amount of alkalinity that you need in that water to balance the acidity of that style to get the right mash pH. This ignores flavor ions such as sodium chloride and sulfate. All it does is focus on the chemistry of the mash, you know, getting the proper mash pH from the grain bill and the water that you're working with. And I won't go into it now. I mean, it's a whole show next week or, you know, weeks to come. But when you're all grain brewing, you do want to strive to get that optimum mash pH range. And you need to balance your malt, your grain bill and your water alkalinity to do that. I did an interview with Basic Brewing Radio a month ago where I talked about this concept, and you can listen online at that.
Mm-hmm. Basicbrewing.com, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that in general, what everybody said about finding, you know, charts or lists of brewing cities is true. You don't have to worry about it too much. Just, you know, get the ingredients right. The water is the last thing you really got to worry about. But when it comes to technical all grain brewing, you can improve the performance of that brew session by understanding how that mash pH is working.
Okay.
Well, I think that's the key thing for me is, you know, the pH is critical.
Yeah.
You got to keep an eye on that. That's probably the most important thing when you're all grain brewing.
Okay. And the listener is following up with other things. I just want to say we're going to do a whole water show, and you're going to get to know about this stuff. He says he does actually brew all grain. He uses Culligan RO, and really we could go into a whole other show just about this. So maybe things are working out fine. There's probably a lot of factors in there, and we're going to be with Colin and Doc doing a complete water show, and I'm sure you'll get all your answers about what is and is not.
We're
going to
geek it up big.
So let's just hold it off for there because we're going to wrap things up. Someone wanted to know, John, how you do your temperature control when you ferment, just your particular method.
Oh, I have a Johnson controller in a spare fridge.
He said Johnson.
He keeps it in his fridge.
Well, there you go. That's just the digital controller you have, or do you have an analog one?
It's an analog one. It's the
cheap bastard.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess spare fridge and living down, you know, Southern California where I do, it's always like 100 degrees, and so I brew in the fridge.
Okay.
And if you want John to upgrade his controller, buy Creative Extract Brewing with Rock Candy and Meat.
We've got one Stump the Brewer before we go. I'm going to have Daniela read it.
We got one?
It's for all three of you. You all get to chime in here. Although, we'll start with John. We'll see if he's stumped. Maybe we'll pass
Me and Jamil could just throw him under the bus.
And this is the only one we're going to need, so we're not going to need more than this question. You're going to be stumped.
Okay. And keep in mind, this could be the last Stump the Brewer Daniela ever reads. You know, here
it will be.
You
know, I'm not going to do it
next
week.
There's only one more show with
Maybe it will not be.
She said will.
We will.
Long time ago in England, pub frequenters had what banged into the rim of their beer mugs, and what was it used for?
You said bang.
I so said bang.
Yeah, it's true.
Banged?
I don't get it.
Bang.
Banged. Like banged.
Bang.
Into the rim of their beer mugs.
Yeah.
And what did it
mean?
With
a hammer.
And what
banged.
Was it used for?
That's a two-part question.
Scott, that's only
should we disqualify
smart.
The question?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Move on.
Because we don't use it anymore.
Stumped.
Because
Stumped? Anybody
no,
got an idea?
I can guess.
Do it.
Do it.
So there's three possibilities. One is like a, you know, a hole in it to hang it up, or it was
some kind of metal,
or it was like some marks to identify that it was their beer mug,
or a metal to purify it, or something.
I think it was a hole. I go with Jamil's A answer.
Stumped, all of you. A whistle.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, shit, I knew that.
And
what's
what for?
What's a V-side?
But it, although it wasn't...
A whistle.
It wasn't
a
like...
V-side?
A whistle.
Yeah, there was a whistle on the handle so you can get another beer.
So it's like
basically the deal.
So they're I've never heard this before.
Like I have read that.
The raves of the medieval places?
Yeah, it was like
so
the
what you
origin
the tornado?
Of the rave.
Yeah, I mean, at the tornado you need a myth. Shotgun. And a cot.
It was used to...
Cryogenics, I think.
Please remove JP out of my studio. Thank you. It was used to order services.
Yeah.
Services.
Yeah.
That kind of place.
Yeah. Daniela's services. Evil twin. What is that? The rock candy again?
Yeah. That's what kind of services you can order with a whistle. with John Palmer's bird whistle. Give us the bird whistle.
Sorry, ladies. He's taken.
Daniela's evil twin. There's a user called Daniela's evil twin.
Yeah. That's probably push.
And she's asking the Stump the Brewer question, what's the name of the girl that Justin slept with that made Daniela leave the United States?
Oh,
what
JP.
An evil twin. Yeah.
That is evil.
That is very evil. See what I have to deal with.
Her name
bringing
is
out the dog.
Mom's name. Let's go the other direction. What's the name of the German guy that made you leave us?
Oh,
I got that answer. It's Augustina.
Augustina.
No, it's the prince in Bavaria.
Ah. Oh, yes. I'm very excited for you to come back to
me.
We
are so happy you are coming back to our team.
Yes. I'm going to brew lots of great beers for you with whistles everywhere.
Yeah, we once again will create a pure German race with you here.
Yes.
Code is so upset that he takes the Brewing Network now off of his speed dial number one.
What?
Yes, he doesn't want to talk.
More pussy whipped than Justin is.
No, nobody's more pussy whipped than Justin.
Hey, how did all the targets turn from John Palmer over to me, by the way? What the hell?
I don't know. John's bleeding from the nose. I think he's had enough.
He has taken a beating today. Yeah. All right, I'm happy to take a beating.
That bus has run over him, backed
over
him.
Yeah. Take a beating. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
What time you got to fly out of here tomorrow, John?
9:30.
Oh, heck.
A.M.?
Yeah.
Oh, you can drink till 9:20.
Yeah, you're good, man.
You're giving him a ride to the airport, by the way, in the morning.
Nah, you got the car.
You're going to take your car.
On a motorcycle.
John, you're going to ride to the airport in the back of my hog. How hot is that going to be?
That'll
be
a first.
You're going to ride Justin's hog. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
He said hog.
You're going to be my bitch all the way to Oakland.
Well, we're going to stop off, make a little money, then we're going to go on to the airport.
John looks very unhappy.
I get to choose where I place my hands, okay?
There's a steering stick in front. Don't worry about what it is. Just hold on.
Feel free
to
move those hands.
Listen, I want to say that I'm proud of the Brewing Network because there's not another show out there that would that would take the presence of John Palmer and the good information that we could have gleaned tonight and fucked it up the way that we
and
did.
So, totally make gay jokes.
So I just want to
John Palmer, you have all this knowledge. penis.
So props to us, everybody, for doing what it is that we do. Actually, I will say, John, great to have you in the studio.
And, oh, my pleasure.
You know, please come back next time you're up here when you come.
You said you never wanted him back.
You got to come hang out with us again because, we could do almost any topic with you, which is kind of cool.
We've done every topic with him.
Tonight, in brief. Yeah. Jameel's angry and jealous because JP's been flirting with you for the last half hour, but he'll get over it, right? Listen tomorrow, 10 a.m. for the new Jameel show. What's the topic that's tomorrow? You remember what beer?
Oh God, I don't know. We'll make something up.
And make it sound interesting.
Icebox. Jameel's program is Icebox tomorrow. Icebox. So
you got some meat going?
10 a.m. We're going to go and eat and do some fun stuff. Hey, don't forget, you only get next week to hang out with Daniela. So come back next week. It's going to be a good show.
You might want to fly in.
You might want to fly. I guarantee some surprises. It's Daniela's finale, and I guarantee a couple of special things going on. So you're going to want to tune in next week.
Smelly surprises.
And hang out.
No, those are never surprises.
Sticky surprises.
What happened to you in the course of this show?
She's going to get back to Germany and unpack. Why is all my socks stuck to all my shirt? Was Justin making papier-mâché animals for me?
I hate you.
You got to tune in next week and say goodbye to our favorite brewcaster, Daniela. It's going to be her last show. And come on over and hang out in the chat room and call in and do what we can to wish her well wishes going to Germany and farewell.
Happy meet.
To the Brewing Network. Even though the doc, she's dead to Doc.
You're dead to me.
Thanks, everybody. It's been a great show. Andy Kilroy is hanging out making pictures of everybody. He did great. Woo! We got... Woo! We got Crazy Jack and the Vinnie Puppet. Crazy Jack's giving a peace sign. The Vinnie Puppet's flipping him off. Gotta like that. We got the one sad eye and the one happy eye cartoon of Daniela. And she's saying everything is shisa. I like that. The best thing about his cartoon sometimes is not just the drawing, but the things he put in there. He's got one of me saying, don't drink out of my glass because I'm afraid of germs. I like that.
I like the one he did of me. It looks rugged.
I didn't see that one. It does look rugged. Yes, you look like a man there. I got one of Jameel here. He drew. Says, I brew beer for God because he doesn't have clean suits. We got one of Doc where he's... Doc's such a man, he's pulled out his own molar.
I got a tear.
Got a drawing of it. So yeah, thanks to Andy for hanging out. Sven was hanging out with us. He brought us some drinks today. Crazy Jack was here. Ross was here hanging out. Went to Jameel's and dirtied up his clean room. That's pretty cool.
Soiled his clean.
Sean Paxton, JP, Dr. Scott. Everybody's here, all right?
Stop eating into the mics.
Bastards.
They're all doing it.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Join us for Daniela's last day. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'm the one right now.
Cherry stop, yeah, you know what I am talking about. But don't you give me that American crude, boy, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love that homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my mind.